I can't believe this next one. I'm going to go after the screen now. There's this guy, the cake boss. Do you know the cake boss? There's a guy called the cake boss. If you woo the cake boss, I'm coming into that crowd and going after you. Woo, cake boss! This guy is so proud of the fact that he just makes cakes. That's what he does, and he gets to have a television show. And not only that, he has an arch rival, another guy called the Ace of Cakes. Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry. If you smirk like that, you better be a really good fighter pilot or a heart surgeon. You better know how to save someone's life using a spoon. This guy, what is it you do? You look pretty cocky.
Me? I make cakes.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Television, pop culture. It's where you find
We're going to start today by reading together a short story entitled My Sister Fanny.
Quiet.
Okay, so let's all open up our Reading is Fun books to page
69. 69.
It's me. I bet you thought that I was dead. But when I fell over, I just broke my leg and got a hemorrhage in my head.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
It was fun! Somebody stole all our lunches.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
I'll tell you who took those lunches. That damn Sasquatch.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Hello! Do I hear myself? I think so. Hey, everybody! After Noah Mulberry Show, Stephen. Hey, how's it going?
It is time.
It is me, the J-Strom, back here in Mulberry. I have my faithful sidekick here, Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm fantastic.
We also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
I'm all right. I'm laying on the floor.
Oh, no.
Not feeling too well.
He's doing a Steven impression. You know, last week, remember...
Is Steven doing the show from the floor this week?
No, he's sitting upright. When we came back from the break...
was not feeling well at all. Yeah.
We told Bill that you were gone, and he was worried about you.
I was scared.
I went home and went to sleep. Yeah, and I slept, I don't know. I woke up at noon the next day.
18 hours or something. You probably,
wow.
Let me ask you this.
I would have took your ass straight to the hospital.
Because you do fly every week.
Right.
It does just exhaust your body, doesn't
right.
it?
Yeah, and it just caught me last week because, right. I had a really long layover.
Can you feel
layover.
Like sometimes where – do you like start where you're so tired you get irrational, grumpy kind of thing?
I try to – I don't usually do that to people, though. I might be grumpy, but I don't usually take it out on people.
But you're always sleepy.
Well, I can tell when I don't get enough sleep.
And a little topy.
Yes.
Dumb things start to piss me off or I'm gritting my teeth like – towel falls off the rock. Damn it!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stupid thing. You know, if it's inanimate objects, I will...
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Screw you, towel rack!
I get up at 6 a.m. to get my daughter ready for school. I get ready, get dressed, and then I get her ready for school. But I've decreasingly go to bed earlier and earlier because I just can't take it anymore where I'll stay up till 1 watching something, go to bed, wake up at 6 a.m. I'm like done, man, I'll be watching TV or something, watching a show, trying to catch up on the show. Say I'm watching something and I realize dude, you're totally nodding off, man. Knock it off. Slap myself in the face. And I realize I start to do that more often.
Well, my Fridays, Thursday, I work all day. Then you get wired. You can't go to sleep. Then I get up at 3 in the morning.
Wait, why do you get wired?
Sometimes
doing wiring?
No, because you're getting I'm wanting to go home the next day.
You're getting excited.
Oh, you're excited.
Excited, wired.
Okay. I thought maybe you're downing coffee.
Almost
an
anxiety.
Yeah, it's an anxiety.
Sleep.
It's okay, I don't want to miss my flight tomorrow.
You don't even have to talk about that. Yeah. I am.
I'll get some.
I have such a bad time falling asleep sometimes. It's partial insomnia, but I also think it has to do with my general anxiety disorder. That even once I fall asleep, my dreams are stressful. I can't have a dream where I'm not being I'm never chased or anything, mm-hmm. but it's always where I have to make a horrible decision or
stressed out dream where you wake up and you're stressed from that.
Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with apocalyptic culture kind of thing, dystopian futures.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I the other night I had a dream just quick little sidebar here. Sorry, Steven.
It's okay.
Where I'm back at my childhood home, and somebody, for some odd reason, Tom Hanks is the guy that tells everyone, all right, it's time to go into the vaults. We need, the missiles have launched. We need to get underground. And we go down to my childhood playground that's down the street from my house, and there's the vault entrance, and we get in this elevator, and he's like, okay, guys only, come in first. So I leave all my sisters up there, and we're going down the elevator, and we're like, wow, we just saw the missiles launch, how long is it going to take? And he's like, well, not long now. And then there's a shake and the elevator drops, and we realize that anybody that was on the surface is now dead because they've been nuked. So my entire dream, I'm distraught that my sisters are dead. And I'm in this vault all alone with Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks
Great.
Is the only person with you?
No, there's other people down there. It's a whole other colony. It's kind of right out of Fallout 3.
That's kind of a weird dream, if it's just you and Tom Hanks surviving.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, Tom Hanks, how are you?
Tell you what I'm doing this
Tom
weekend.
Tom Hanks, big red handprint on your face.
Yeah. He starts calling me Wilson. I'm like, my name's not Wilson. But it's so strange And Andy in the chat room's like, no chance to propagate the species. No, there was females down there, and then in the like when the dream ended, everybody had to choose a mate. I mean, it was a really detailed friggin' post-apocalyptic dream. Like, all the shit that I've collected in my mind over 32 years.
You're like, well, but Tom, all that's left is you and me.
let's hope one of us turns into a female. No, but that's – I can never not be stressed out. And it's like I'm 32 years old and half my hair's gray because of it. Yeah.
That's it's something just, that I've had to work on my whole life is this anxiety of reacting to things. Like, I've tried to work on it with my wife. Like, she'll go, we have to go to Tyler this weekend. Old Jason would be like, what? Why? Why do we have to go? You know, just overreaction, overblown right away. Be like, oh, why do we need to do that? Tell me what's going on this week. I have to, like, make myself do that because I act like a big spaz sometimes where I
guess
overreact
that's what I need
to
work on that because that's just – I hate – always being stressed out. I hate the fact that I lay down to go to sleep, and when I do fall asleep, it's stressful too. It's like I can't get free of it.
Yeah.
So I get back to the hotel room, you know, and I'll have dinner or something and get back to the room, and I'll procrastinate, and then at midnight I wind up organizing all my luggage, you know, getting ready to pack for the next day.
Is it a ritual? You realize you do it every time before you go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all my clothes are, even my dirty clothes are folded up, you know, and I've got them up. I've got them in piles so they fit neatly back into the bag.
I can so see myself doing that. I am so anal like that. I could totally believe it.
And so I've got it all organized.
How weird would it be if then you get on the plane and who's sitting next to you?
Tom Hanks. That son of a bitch.
I'm getting late.
Tom Hanks is on the engine pulling wires out.
I'm dreaming.
He wants the plane to crash.
Hey, Tom Hanks, man, who doesn't love that guy, right?
So usually I wind up can't fall asleep, so I turn on the TV. You know, the TV's on, and I can't turn it off. It's like one stupid show after the other. Okay, you know, then I finally, you know, it's like, all right, just...
Oh, no, Billy the Exterminator's on. I can't go to sleep.
He's about to catch that bee. It's going to fly right in his face.
His brother's getting involved with that slut again.
I've dreamt about Tom Hanks, but we're playing Mazes and Monsters, which is really cool.
Mazes and Monsters is a far-out game.
So then I usually wind up turning the TV off and forcing myself to lay there, you know, and go to sleep. So.
I can't have anything on. I don't know how my dad does it. He can't sleep without having the TV on. I have to have, like, complete silence, pitch black darkness, or I'm not going to get any sleep.
Well, I have the white noise of the air conditioner or the fan running in the room.
Those things are loud, man. Those hotel air conditioners.
Oh, yeah.
I usually have some kind of podcast. People talking really helps me go to sleep. And,
really?
Yeah. Like I
just get annoyed.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be asleep and I'll yank it out of my head sometimes. And I've actually woken up and I've had the end of the earbud inside my ear like all night. That kind of drives me nuts. So I try to like just pull it out right as I'm on the threshold of sleep.
Yeah. So last week I think I laid down for about an hour. Well,
that's kind of far out.
And then got up and, you know, I went and we worked for a couple hours and then I was stuck in Denver for 3 hours.
Well, the main thing is,
I got back here and I hadn't eaten. I was starving.
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's, next time that happens, stop and eat, you know, and then just show up whenever. Don't, like, force yourself to get here and be kind of miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to think you're going to die all night.
Well, it was just exhausting.
Sit on the couch while the show. You know, we could still be doing the show, but you can be over there eating. We'll kind of say hi to you or whatever, but then get on when you're ready. You know, go to the bathroom, conduct your business or whatever. light a match, and then show up on the show. What am I talking about?
Light a match!
You know, it's that miserable airplane sleep, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and that recycled air. I hate airplanes.
I'm sorry.
I've tried to learn to sleep sitting up instead of folded over, you know, because my back's been aching, you know, from all that too. So now it's my neck because my head
that probably doesn't help you much, because I think we've made the deduction that you obviously probably suffer from sleep apnea.
Oh yeah.
So trying to sleep upright is. Do you ever have like a pounding headache when you wake up? Like if you're sleeping upright?
No. I had
when I knew I had sleep apnea,
just having my my head bobbing around on the plane.
Okay,
that I had a headache last week. Yes, but no, because I fall asleep in my chair in my office all the time. So no,
that's not something you want to admit, though. Where's Steven? Oh, he's sleeping in his office. What the hell?
I prop my feet up.
You need to train yourself to sleep with your eyes wide open. Hey, Steven, how's it going? All right, I can see you're busy, and I'll
Man, that guy's such a dick. He never talks to me.
He just stares right at me.
He just stares at me. It's so creepy.
Now, Bill, I've been talking to you about certain times when, we've been doing NIM every other week or something. Sometimes I have to do stuff or... last week we went to a hockey game, I think, and things happen where I can't prepare for the show. But sure. I was thinking, I need to come up with a format for whenever I have no time to do the show. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking we could do like a NIM magazine, entertainment magazine kind of show. Hey, everybody. Hey, time for the entertainment news. And we would just do like entertainment news that week. This week, all we would talk about is Brett Ratner or something.
Ratner's a pig. This week, on NIM Magazine.
We talk about
listening to him being interviewed by Howard.
God, and he came off so much worse.
I know, isn't that funny? I'm here to repair my reputation. It's like, you're about to destroy it even worse.
Well, he goes on to apologize to Olivia Munn for saying that he banged her when he didn't, and then goes, man, I've got gigantic balls. Dude, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, who wants to hear that?
No one wants to hear that.
NIM Magazine, Bill, we talk about the box office and stuff like that, or what movie still hit that week and everyone's talking about. Like, hey, it's Catwoman's foot. Can you believe the way they made her boot look? Oh, my God. I'm not going to see this movie. What is Christopher Nolan
doing?
It's
like Rob Liefeld drew it.
Yeah. Actually, her feet are never seen. They're always off screen. It cuts off right about the ankle area. What's the deal with Christopher Nolan? I don't know how to shoot feet, so I just don't, That would be great,
There's no action in the Rob Liefeld of directors. Well, but, I think... Quentin Tarantino is the anti-Rob Liefeld of directors.
Yeah, all he does is show the feet.
Yeah, all he wants is feet.
But if, say, 1 week, would you guys care if all of a sudden we had a NIM magazine because I wouldn't have time to prepare anything?
I think it would be fun to do kind of off the cuff.
Yeah, I think
sometimes my favorite show are these parts where we just bullshit at the beginning.
Yeah, and that's what it'll be. It'll be just us bullshitting. And we'll be, from time to time I'll see news stories or like about a new trailer that hit or something, and be like, I want to talk about that, and I kind of forget about it. But it'd be cool just to kind of talk about that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be all the time.
No, I know what you're saying. You speak English, and I can understand it.
But also, I want to talk about this, Bill. Star Wars The Old Republic. You talked about beta a while back. You were in beta.
Yes, I was in a playtest.
Yes, I got accepted into beta. And
yes.
I don't know when it's going to start, but that'll be fun to play. And I have to say that you and I both have pre-ordered the game.
Yes, and, we both have it pre-ordered.
And we've started a guild of just you and me, but we need more people in there. If anybody who's listening to the show doesn't have a guild and you want to play with me and Bill in the game, it's a cool Star Wars game. You can be a Jedi or whatever.
Let's say you have a guild and you're going to play with your friends and there's a bunch of people, but you have enough people to start your guild. We don't. Join us, please.
Join us, and then you can join your other guild on another server after the game launches. Right?
Just let us launch our guild, please.
And the name of our guild is the Rangers of Old Intrepid. Rangers of Old Intrepid. It's a nod to when we played Star Wars Galaxies. And if anybody wants to play with us, go ahead, man.
Because Intrepid server was the best.
Right, exactly, Bill. It's superior in every way. But, it's just kind of a fun thing. And, I don't know how much I will be able to play, but I will whenever I can. And I'll gladly play with whoever. It'll be fun.
I'll play with you.
Unless they're troublemakers, Bill. We'll have none of that.
No. We have no place for troublemakers.
Right. Okay, another thing I want to talk about before we get to voicemail is my birthday came and gone, Bill, and you sent me some books, which is great.
Yeah. I sent you a care package.
Yes, and a couple of the books One is Cavalier and Clay. The other one was Wonder Boys by Michael
Chabon.
And then another book was Alas Babylon, which I really want to read.
Pat Frank's Alas Babylon, one of my all-time favorite post-apocalyptic books.
And then
there's so many there's so many stories that once you read this book and realize it was written, I think, in like 53, that is like the village, the town, the people. You can really see where a lot of influence came from. I there's a lot of like Stephen King kind of quality to it.
Cool.
Where, like,
yes,
there's
I definitely
like
want to read
real
that.
Like characters in this town.
Well, that's what I was about to say. And then Stephen King's 11/22/63 comes out, and I really want to read that too. I have such a huge stack of books.
I know, it's ridiculous.
And I gotta read. Do you ever do this, Bill? Because I'm right in the middle of a book, and then another book comes out, and then you set those. I'm like, I want to set this aside really badly and start reading another book.
I did last time. What was it? I read the book you sent me for my birthday, the Star Wars Old Republic book, Fatal Alliance.
Yes.
And there was something else that came out that I ended up starting reading right around the end of that. Damn it.
And you have to force your, like, discipline. No. Let me finish this.
Yeah, I had to go. I had to stop reading what I was reading and go back to Fatal Alliance just to finish it because it
And the Revan is about to come out in a couple of weeks.
And I still haven't read Deceived.
I know.
The one about Darth Malgus. Yeah.
There's got to be a way to, like, read in your sleep. Just jack it in. I know, you know, audiobook won't work. I'll fall asleep, but.
Well, I love the Star Wars audiobooks, but I kind of discipline myself to read the book before.
Right.
It's kind of like watching the Star Wars audiobooks are like movies to me. They're just so well produced, and the guy that reads them, Mark Thompson, has a voice for every character.
That is cool.
Now, you don't call that reading, do you? You call that listening, right?
Yeah, that's not reading.
Okay.
Anybody who reads audiobooks is full of shit. And
they're listening to audiobooks.
Tricking themselves.
Thank you. Thank you.
You it's don't another... absorb a book when you listen to it like you do when you read it.
I know I definitely don't. It's almost like it's accessing a different part of my brain, you know? But I was saying, what I was going to say is the Star Wars books, what you're just talking about, the audiobooks are cool. They have all the sound effects.
Yes. And the music, and they even have original scores.
And I was thinking, man, they need to do that with other books and stuff. It'd be really neat. Some people would be like, well, you're taking away. No, you're not. Reading is reading. And I don't know about you, Bill. Do you sometimes put on background music when you're reading, or do you need complete
silence? No, I need it's silence.
Yeah, I can listen to instrumental music. But
I think that kind of screws with another part of my brain, and I don't concentrate as well.
Right. It depends. I can read. I've trained myself to read with, like, Emma on the computer, Heather watching TV, and I'm in a chair. I don't know how I do it, but I can do it. And I just learned to work against things.
I think I'm like
things.
Bill. I need silence. The TV can be on, but it's got to be muted. I mean, I'll have the flickering light on, but I'm not paying any attention to
it. Yeah, I've done that. I've done it for the light.
But there's something about those audiobooks, the Star Wars ones, where they do that. I want to do something like that, too. I want to do, like, a zombie audiobook with sound effects and stuff. That would be cool.
The World War Z, the Max Brooks book, they did a dramatization of it. But it's only half the book. It's an abridged version.
Oh, not
so they've picked and choosed which sections they want to use. And it would be so good if they just would have done a full production.
Right.
Because what's there is excellent.
I'd like to hear that. But yeah, that is disappointing. A bridge sucks.
Yeah, abridged. Anytime I'm looking for an audiobook of something that I've read, if I see abridged, I immediately bail.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you're not going to get the same experience.
Yeah, that is true. I guess even like if you've read the book and you listen, it's still kind of like, oh, why'd they leave this out? It's like it doesn't please anybody.
It's like watching a disappointing adaptation of a book to film.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to listen to this abridged version because my report's due tomorrow and it's shorter.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it would exist, I would think.
Yeah, it's the cliff notes of books.
All right, guys, we have a couple of voicemails. The first one is Steve Anderson. who's also known as...
Mr. Anderson.
Who's also known as Frayed Knot. Let's check out and see what he has to say to us. Hey, how's it going, dude?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Whoa!
Steve Anderson. been catching up on Mulberry episodes lately, and you know, funny stuff, as always.
Well, thank you.
Listening to that one where you're talking about the premiere of Terra Nova, like, I watched it, the premiere, too, and didn't like it, but you guys hated it. It was funny and true, all that.
Hate's a strong
cynical teen stuff that went on about. And as for nowadays, you guys have Battlefield 3 yet? You know how much you loved Battlefield 2 and all the righteous kills. So, we gotta get on that. Unfortunately not tonight, because I probably won't be able to make the show or play games. But soon. So, keep up the good work, guys, and talk to you later.
Well, thank you, sir. I wouldn't say I hated Terra Nova. I was just underwhelmed by it.
Well, I didn't hate it either. It just,
lacked.
It more than lacked. It was just lazy.
I'm still watching it, even.
So am I, and this past episode was easily the worst. It was the coolest and the worst.
It had moments where I was like, well, that's kind of cool, but, you know, it's still like a... There is in no way have I watched an episode be like, finally, they got it right. I haven't seen that episode yet.
It wasn't the last episode, maybe the episode before, that all of a sudden the brooding little shit turned around again. It was like, what do you want me? You said you want me to have a job.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. He did totally revert to pilot episode punk-ass son. And then not only that, is his dad is right, because the guy he's working for is a shady.
Yeah, he's crooked.
And then at the end, the dad's like, all right, you better get back to your job. And he's like, oh, thanks, Dad. And I'm like, you dumbass, you're sitting. But whatever.
This whole subplot of him trying to get his old girlfriend to Terra Nova.
Yeah.
And dealing with some – and it looks like that's what next week's episode is.
And then also they have a mole in Terra Nova who's telling the Sixers everything.
And they've known this since week one. Why the hell haven't they done something about it already?
Like, really, we need to get to that next week.
Eventually.
The part I thought was cool is that they were leading the giant dinosaur to Terra Nova. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. They're leading it there and everything. It's going to trample the place. Fire two flaming arrows and it's gone.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't like fire.
He's like,
fire,
bear!
Fire, bear!
But it was a cool dinosaur.
You know, another thing
about... My arms are
about,
too little to put out the fire.
we're going to talk about Walking Dead later, but there's something that Terra Nova and Walking Dead both have similar that drive me nuts, and that is...
Bad writing?
Imminent danger.
Yes.
And people are standing around chatting out in the open... When something could come and kill them at any moment.
Yeah.
They're not looking around. They don't look like they're acting cautious at all.
Well, it's like they're at the town center, like, na-na-na-na-na, there's no such thing as pterodactyls.
Yeah,
man-eating dinosaurs.
The guy took the daughter out on a date, out in the middle of nowhere, where there's velociraptors, or whatever they want to call them. There's man-eating dinosaurs, and they're just like... talking loud and whatever, and they're not looking around cautiously. Something about that bothers me, you know?
You're in the freaking prehistoric jungle.
Right.
Like, a leaf with a pointy edge could kill you.
Yeah,
you know,
let's be quiet. We're going to talk and have a conversation when we get to our destination right now. Shut up and follow me, okay? You're being a jerk, dude. Do you want to live? Now, come on. Let's go on our fancy picnic.
Come with me if you want to live.
We're going to this hidden cave, but there's no animals.
Yeah. It just – that bothers me.
Oh, and then that's that retarded thing in this last episode where it's, hey, this is the eye. It shows our entire history.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, when did they send that through?
Yeah, we have a giant supercomputer here under bubbling water. Is that like a nuclear core in there?
Yeah, I know. It's just so stupid.
Daddy, without any
power. And then
power,
the only way to get out, it just so happens that only the little girl can fit.
Did you like that, though, Belle? She's like, Daddy, how does this still have power if everything's out? And he goes, it must have its own power source.
Well, duh.
For you people watching at home who question it yourselves, you know, it's just like, Yeah, it's a good thing that that conduit, Bill, that hole in the floor went right underneath the door, and it perfectly, you know, is for the size of a little girl to fit.
Oh, and that little moment of tension. Oh, no, Zoe! Zoe! Where are you, Zoe?
Oh, right here, Dan. I'm so precocious.
Oh, the best part about that is they get out, and he's like, where have you been? And he's like, we were trapped over in the eye. And he goes, well, we better get in here. And they're like, okay, we got to go. Honey, you go play with your friends. And it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah, it's such a bad show, but it's – I'm stuck to it. I got to keep watching.
I'm waiting for it to get better. Good. Yeah, I even saw Jose Molina I follow on Twitter. He's one of the writers. He goes, for all you people who are knocking Taran over every week, you still seem to keep on watching, don't you?
Because we're hoping it gets better, douchebag.
Yeah, it's just like, because we're waiting to see if you get your shit together.
I mean, come on. The only reason we're watching is Stephen Lang. The guy's a freaking badass. And he can even make shitty dialogue sound good.
Yeah, I even like the part where the bartender shot the guy in the head, and he goes, it's a good thing... too, because that was my last bullet, you know, in his little revolver or whatever. I was like, good, they shot somebody in the head. Something,
yeah,
you know,
finally
happened.
Oh, hey, let's shoot you with a sonic gun. Hey, you're not really hurt or anything, because we can't hurt anybody on this show.
You blew my eardrums out with a sonic gun.
Oh, and that brings me to the other thing. I was grossed out.
Oh, the parasite?
The dude had a mile-long parasite in his body, and they kept pulling it out and out. And that was grossing me out,
and then
man.
It snapped and went back in, and oh.
Dude.
Was that really needed so that they needed to produce that story to say, hey, this guy who's your best friend actually doesn't want to be your best friend. He kind of likes you.
I like her. He's like, I was hoping maybe one day I'd be your boyfriend or something. She goes, I'm pulling a giant parasite out of you. Dude, you're disgusting. I will never even touch you again, okay?
Yeah.
You have cooties for life, dude.
Perfect timing, man.
But I love you. Shut up.
And yes. So does apparently Jim Shannon's weaselly little son.
Oh, and then when she goes, well, the parasite's dead. It's like, it's still in me. Get it out.
Exactly. What the hell?
No, it's fine. It'll
You'll
just
pass
dissolve.
It eventually.
Yeah.
Well, we got to eat. Oh, can you imagine that? Oh
man, that would be some bowel movement. Wouldn't it?
That's going to clog up their entire system.
I just lost 50 pounds.
You and
look
we finally
really
get to meet
lately.
son.
That's funny. Wow, you lost so much weight. Well, actually, it was a giant parasite living in my bowels.
I didn't even have to exercise.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good
diet. Just kind of fell out after it died.
You ought to try it, too. Eat this parasite, and then after a while...
He drank some unfermented cockoli juice or something?
Yeah, I don't think I would ever drink again, would you?
Certainly not from a prehistoric plant.
Yeah, boil water to extreme heat.
All right, guys, we have another voicemail. This one from Sean. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hello, Nowhere in Mulberry. It's Sean. Very excited to hear you guys are doing a show tonight. I wish you guys the best. I know the show's going to be awesome. Can't wait till Tuesday so I can download it and listen to it at work. I fully expect to hear Bill's thoughts on the new Adam Sandler movie, Jack and Jill, because I know he went to the first showing today at 11 a.m. So, yeah, definitely want to get his thoughts on that because it looks like an amazing movie. Right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I was wondering if you guys are watching that show on Showtime, Homeland. I know Jason, your wife, watches it, so I assume that means you watch it too.
Yes, sir.
Because I saw her
your
talking about it on
everything.
Miso.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just curious what you guys thought about it because I'm really enjoying the show. I think it's really pretty good so far. Anyway, the show from a couple weeks ago was really good. Made me laugh all the
Our
way
show
through,
or Homeland?
As usual. No surprises there. Anyway, gotta go for now, but you guys have a great show. Talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, Sean. Yeah, Sean, you were on a riding mower, I think, like Rick. But, yeah, I love Homeland. It's a good show. Damian Lewis, excellent actor. Claire Danes.
I crammed it this week. I got all six episodes that have aired and watched them back to back to back to back.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. What'd you think of it?
I really like it a lot, but there's some stuff in there that kind of irritates me. The I mean, it's well written, especially for characters, imagining characters, mm-hmm. and how they're handling the reveals of what went on and Iraq?
Yeah.
That he was in.
Or Afghanistan.
And I think there's some really cool stuff there, but some of it kind of springs up really quickly that I was a little annoyed with. Like, everything's hunky-dory whenever he comes home, but him and his wife still have kind of a divide, and then everything's okay for two or three episodes, and then all of a sudden it comes back that his best friend is now kind of back in the picture, and it just, I don't know, that's the only part that kind of annoys me.
Well, we almost went to early episodes, the shithead teenager character. Luckily, yes. That's toned down a little bit. At first, I was like, oh, no, not another one of these characters. I just hate teenage shit characters to give their parents
shit. Yeah, they're
written
terribly.
Yeah, nobody knows how to... I don't even know if real teenagers probably get on my nerves, too, and I just don't realize it, but...
Well, it's written so angsty. It's not. It doesn't come across
why'd you genuine. For? I'm going off with this guy from Terra Nova. It's like, you guys would be a great couple together.
I'm gonna go smoke pot in the jungle.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's an excellent show. Showtime's got a good show on its hands. You know, I've been watching Dexter, and I enjoy Dexter, but it's been on too many seasons, dude.
Yeah, they're stretching it, man.
There is
this whole. I was actually really disappointed that they didn't follow through with the brother Mos.
Uh-huh.
Mos, I guess now.
Mos Def.
No, just Mos.
Mos Definitely.
Brother Mos. They kind of went. I don't know. I think they kind of screwed with that a little too early, and then. In this last episode, it's like, what, you know, Dexter's reaching the light, and then he gets a moment of total darkness, and then, it's his brother!
Dude, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I saw his brother, I kind of went...
I know!
And I was like, okay, guys, I'll tune in next week and see what happens.
it's the ice truck killer!
I just thought it was funny, because I did a post on Facebook. Whenever somebody returns to a show, you know, that's dead, they're either a dream sequence, a hallucination of some kind, or an apparition. They're really not there. Yeah. But, you know, Dexter has always had his dad there who's dead.
And yeah, I never really thought of that as a hallucination as much as just his moral compass.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a way of showing him not narrating in his head all the time. Instead, they have his dad there, which is fine. That works with me. But I think it's funny when they have to introduce a new guy who's there. And he's
now he's crossed the line. He's in full darkness mode.
Right, right. So it's just kind of like, okay. I'm going to keep watching Dexter, but I'm just kind of like...
Oh, and I was pissed that they got rid of that Bree Grant so fast, because I was really hoping to see her naked. I'm sorry, but it's true.
You never on that show. There's enough nudity, right?
Yeah, and there is. But I was really thinking it would happen, like the cute hot chick from Friday Night Lights, and then
Bill. I have a feeling she's gonna show up again, because it was kind of weird how she stole the ice truck killer hand and tried to sell it or whatever. I just have a feeling she's gonna turn up again.
Yeah, she seems a little strange.
Yeah, very odd. But that show,
but I just find her so cute. Oh,
that wow. His sister character, Deb, the way she uses profanity still cracks me up.
Yeah, every week. Doesn't matter.
She always says something, and she says something inappropriate, and it's always just hilarious.
But it's just the way she plays the character. It's kind of like this, aw shucks, but instead of shucks, it starts with an F. And you know, it's just, I love the way that character is.
There's always something every week on that show that cracks me up. And this week it was her ex-boyfriend, Quinn, where he shows up drunk.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the girl goes, you took me to a party at your ex's house? I'm out of here. And he's like, all drunk. He's like, well, everybody's dumping me now.
That was good. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into entertainment. Thank you, Sean, and thank you, Stephen Fraydon Anderson. All right, entertainment! Well, early this morning, Stephen, Bill, and I, we got up. I mean, it's first showing. We all went to go see Jack and Jill.
Yep.
shocked by how much we enjoyed it.
I can't believe how good Adam Sandler was. What's the Academy going to do? Are they going to nominate him twice?
They should, because I was like leaning to Steven and go, dude, I started to freak out. This is like another character here. It's a woman, but
you
no, it's Adam Sandler.
Over it.
Yeah,
I was having such a like. I forgot that it was Adam Sandler playing two characters.
I know, and the fact that it's so sentimental. I mean, sure, it's a silly comedy, but the sentimental parts really got to me.
Oh yeah, it drives home the point of family and the way they can annoy you, but it's this pure unconditional love.
You know, his sister drives him nuts, and I can relate to this. I have sisters. Bill, you have sisters.
Three of them. They drive me crazy.
And you know what? Everything about my sister drives me nuts, but also, that's what I love about her. And yeah, that's what this movie made me feel. Yeah. So, Jack and Jill, 10 stars, Bill.
I would give it 17 out of 62.
Nice. What
I can't remember what the number was that you were giving.
Oh, 9 out of 17 stars.
9 out of 17. No, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really well done, very competently directed film. Katie Holmes really stood out as she's brought her craft so far from Dawson's Creek.
She is the perfect wife character that really has nothing to do, but she's like a trophy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a feeling she was clearing her thetans during the movie, kind of like.
I think she did. At one point, I think I saw her fart in something like a ghostly figure,
an apparition.
Just one scene, behind you her. Look, yeah, in the apparition. Background, you can see the clay table. That's,
I can't wait till the DVD because I'm going to freeze frame it.
Yeah, kind of like
59.
Three men and a baby. Whenever the ghost is behind the
It almost looked like Clyde from Pac-Man.
Yeah, it did. It was a little blue.
Yeah. Now, Stephen, what did you think?
I think
of
maybe
the movie?
Somebody eating a power pellet.
Today, Junior.
I was moved deeply.
Well, there was one part where I had to go to the bathroom, so I missed the part where I've seen on the commercial where the sister character is on the horse and its legs all splay out and falls down. And when I came back, you guys were laughing your asses off.
I can't stop laughing right now.
I can't believe I missed that. God, I'm pissed. I'm going to have to go back, guys. Man.
Yeah, but at least you were there for everything involving Al Pacino.
Oh, he is brilliant in that.
He's such a treat. I mean, it was so nice to have him in the film. He's so funny.
He really is. He's one of those kind of – he's just a really good actor.
He's versatile.
Yes, he's versatile, and he took a flamethrower to the place, as you'd say about Al Pacino.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic.
I loved how he act. You know, they showed him on stage and how he's kind of insane, performance and people interrupting and stuff. It was great.
I take a flamethrower to this place.
Exactly. Good stuff. Now, there's another movie that came out, guys, called Immortals with Mickey Rourke. And also the guy who's going to play Superman is in that too, isn't he?
This is the Tarsem Singh movie, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think...
Which sounds like a character from John Carter of Mars.
But... It really does. Tars Tarkus. I think The Cell is a cool movie. And
it's interesting, definitely.
And The Fall is fantastic. If you've never seen The Fall...
No, I haven't.
I love it. It's one of those Blu-rays that just pops off the screen, but also it's just such an interesting and fun film. I really like The Fall. But this looks retarded.
When I watch the trailer, I'm just like, what the hell is going on in this?
Yeah, exactly. Why is everyone wearing gold?
It looks kind of like, I almost thought of like Barbarella Flash Gordon cross.
Flash.
Of course, you know, you have to say 300 because it looks like it was all filmed on a green screen, right?
Mm-hmm. It looks
like insanity, but I mean, some of the fight scenes look interesting as in this is completely ridiculous. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'd be willing to watch it, but it looks freaking, I'm going to say, borderline awful to me.
Well, I know it's from the producers of 300.
Yeah, from the producers of 300.
And apparently it's about the Greeks, and it's written by Greeks. Maybe that somehow lends it some credibility. I don't know.
Hopefully there's some of those gyro sandwiches in there.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, man. If they handed out, like, a lamb gyro tzatziki, I would totally go see it.
Oh, you just sold me. I'm going to see this now. And maybe like, where the hell's the food? Hey, where's the baklava?
I was thinking about going to see it, but then I saw my local shitty mall Cineplex only had it in post-converted 3D.
Oh, and I was like, nah. Yeah. I mean, it looks visually arresting, as they say, Bill.
Everything Tarsem Singh does will arrest you with visuals.
A visual tour de force. You remember that creepy part in the cell where the horse gets chopped into pieces?
That was like, awesome.
That was crazy. Yeah, shit like that. That was crazy. It's such a weird-ass movie, though, man.
Vincent D'Onofrio haunted my nightmares for ages.
The part where he's, like, pulling out, he's got the lever, and he's pulling out Vince Vaughn's intestines or whatever.
Yeah.
What the shit was that?
Well, you know, Jennifer Lopez has a screwed-up head.
Yeah, that's a weird movie. I haven't seen that in a long time.
One of the first DVDs I ever bought. Because everyone was like, oh, this is going to be gorgeous.
The main thing I get from the new J. Edgar movie, the Clint Eastwood, we all know he's a great director. I think the old makeup on Leo looks awful.
Yeah, it looks terrible. It looks like he's wearing a latex mask.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
You know, I could give a shit about J. Edgar, and I think most people could give a shit about J. Edgar. I mean,
cast a little older and try to make them look young instead of the other way around.
Well, I forget what review I was reading, but somebody nailed it. God, I hate that I can't give him credit for saying it because it rung so true for me. Is that every time Leonardo DiCaprio is cast in one of these roles, whether it be The Aviator or J. Edgar Hoover, some like a biography kind of role. It reeks of, like, acting. Like,
acting!
It doesn't... Yeah, it, like, doesn't... He doesn't turn into the character. He's, like... He just tries to be the character, and it just seems like that. Like, it's somebody trying to be someone they're not. It just doesn't... It doesn't work.
I'm guilty of not seeing The Aviator yet.
The Aviator bored the hell out of me.
I know it's been out for a while.
It's kind of like Martin Scorsese's indulgent bullshit movie.
Martin
like,
Scorsese.
Oh, this is a true story about a man who was tortured.
But I'm interested in Howard Hughes. That's always an interesting story.
It is. It didn't play right for me. I would rather watch Citizen Kane.
I'm such a bad film goer, Bill. I don't see all these things.
Yeah, I sometimes feel bad whenever I look at, like, whether it's 35mm Heroes or something, and they're talking about all the latest films, and I'm like, yeah, didn't see it.
I just you guys take a break for a bit. Let us catch up. Jesus. Yeah. Just don't go see any movies for like a month, okay?
Yeah, wait till they hit Blu-ray, please.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo. What do you say, guys?
Let's do it.
Sound good?
Please, yes.
Now, Steven, I wanted to tell you a little about Cake Boss lately.
Yeah.
Because I know you're always like, what happened on Cake Boss this week? I really want to know. And the funny thing is they don't depict it on the show, but they show you hints of it. His buddy's wife can't stand his family.
Oh.
You can tell she can't stand him.
It's obvious.
They just show little clues. But this week they really showed it where Buddy, he wants to renew his vows with his wife. And he's like, it's just going to be me and my wife. And they're like, why get crazy? We got to be there. The family's got to be there. We got to be in every aspect of your life. And she's like, oh, Jesus. And they're just driving her nuts. So she's like, you got to tell them about this. So it's kind of
how
funny.
Often do you see her family involved in everything?
Never. There was one episode where they went to his pizzeria.
Pizzeria, yeah.
And it looked like they haven't been helping him out monetarily at all, did it?
No.
they tried to get him a show by taking cameras there.
Yeah, it's like, let's get you some people in your pizza place. So just check this out and listen to her. You can tell she's so annoyed. And Buddy's trying to joke around, but he looks at her. He's like, oh, shit, what'd I do this time? You know, you can tell he's in deep shit.
I don't get the whole thing. How could you have a celebration without your immediate family?
Even Lisa. Lisa will want us there. We were at the first wedding. We're going to be at this one.
Did you ever go to a wedding with six people?
Never. I'm going to call Lisa because...
Yeah, call her.
Oh, my God.
I love hearing from
us. He's going to go celebrate 10 years of marriage without us.
Marriage?
Yeah.
Hi, Lisa. It's Madeline.
What's going on,
Lisa? Listen, Lisa.
Call us back.
What's going on with this whole anniversary thing, you know?
Did Buddy tell you?
Anything?
Oh, my God.
How could you have a wedding with six people?
Yeah, come on. How could you have one without us? All of us.
Make sure you call us back.
Lisa, please call us back.
Happy?
Love you. Bye-bye.
My head's gonna explode.
Hey, babe.
Hey. What's up? How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, what do I do now?
Has nothing to do... Well, has a little bit to do with you, put it that way. This whole, like, I'm being bombarded. I'm being bombarded from left, right. I don't know what we're doing for the wedding. Everyone keeps asking me, are we coming? I can't believe we don't come. Like,
oh, my
God. I want to come. Like, it's all day long. Maybe you should take care of it?
You know what? Come here. Let's talk. No, I've been trying to keep the vow renewal stuff between me and Lisa a secret, but everybody's got to put their nose in our business.
I appreciate that you're trying to surprise me.
There was one of those moments where there's no music and he says something.
It's touching, trust me. It means the world to me. But I just can't take it no more. It's not even fun anymore.
Is this like a trick clause to kind of get me to tell you what I want to do?
I'm so glad you're laughing. I'm so glad you think it's funny.
All right.
Okay?
So you want me to tell you what we're doing for our 10-year anniversary?
I do, and if you're done telling me, you can tell your whole family if they're coming or not.
You want me to spoil the surprise?
Listen, I wish you didn't have to spoil the surprise.
Okay,
surprise,
I get it.
But I can't take it no more.
I get it. We have a crazy family. Okay. So what we're doing for our 10-year wedding anniversary is... Okay, to be totally honest how this all came, it was because I took a cake order, okay, for this cruise ship, and I'm making
a
big
boat cake. Oh, just spit it out.
I knew there was work involved.
There's no work involved, okay? That's sparked my idea because I'm taking you and the whole family on a cruise to the Bahamas, and we're going to renew our vows on the beach.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
Yes, I did. Ooh.
Yeah, my mom's going to be there. Everybody,
you can
always
everybody.
Be by our
no,
side.
Listen, don't spoil the surprise. Let me tell them, okay?
That's fine. It'll be my pleasure.
We're going on a cruise, and we're going to get remarried on a beach in the Bahamas.
Oh, that's nice.
Very romantic. That's appropriate.
They're taking everybody on a cruise.
Why
of course, typical of my sisters, they were happy for like 5 seconds.
Where's the wedding? Wait, where are you getting married?
Are we
docking?
We're gonna dock in the Bahamas.
This family is not healthy.
But hey, it's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, no shit.
Jesus. Why? They're never apart. They never separate. I don't understand.
What do you mean? Who's going to marry you?
And why do they always
have to talk at once?
I see my family on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, same here. I have three sisters, a nephew, and two nieces now, and I see them on holidays because everyone's busy. Everyone's working or have different schedules.
That's how I'm bummed out that Laura's not going to do the show as often because that was the only time I got to see her, you know? Steven, if we didn't do the show, I'd never see you probably.
Nope.
It's crazy, but not on Cake Boss. They got to see each other all the time.
They are so annoying.
They really are.
Like, just on the show itself, it's like my head's going to explode just listening to them, those voices and everything. And then the poor wife can't even get away from them.
Yeah, did you
Heather
see that?
They would probably want to kill me.
Hey, Jason, guess what? I'm here
Why
again.
Why aren't I invited?
Can we watch a movie?
There was an episode where
Can I go to Tyler with you?
She was buying a wedding dress and took all of them along. Did you see that? And every time they come out, she would walk out in the dress. They go, oh, I hate it. No, it doesn't look good. Nah, nah, nah. So she'd be in the back room. She goes, oh, this is my favorite. I really like this. I'm excited about this. She'd walk out and, oh, no, that doesn't work. No, that's
you
awful.
Look like a hula.
So finally, the guy had to go out and he goes, Now, I want to tell you guys something. She really liked that dress. You guys really brought her down when she came out here and you said stuff. So you need to think about her feelings. And Mary's like, well, I'm going to give my honest opinion. It's like, ugh.
You honestly need to just shut your effing mouth.
Are you like,
just, yeah. I would probably either go postal at the bakery and just kill them all. Mm-hmm. If I was their brother, or just disappear.
Yeah.
Let them handle it. I'm going to change my name.
Move to California or something.
Change my name to Vuddy Balastro.
Definitely.
Hey, Vuddy!
Now, let's talk about work of art.
Work of art.
Ripped from the headlines this week. I think the week before they did that kids thing.
Yeah, interpreted kids' artwork.
That kind of fell flat.
Yeah, it did. Who won that one, by the way? The girl did, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The one thing about the girl who ate the carrot and her guts exploded or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought the drawing was really good.
It was just a really strange piece.
Yeah, it was really strange. I thought they were a little hard on the Suck Lord about his tree
thing.
Way
too hard on the Suck Lord.
I thought it was neat. This just doesn't tell me anything, Suck Lord.
The girl drew a freaking picture of a tree.
Yeah,
what the hell am I supposed to do with that?
But the girl who did, like, divorce and spelled it wrong.
Oh, wow.
You know where it was, like, divorce with an S? I was like, is she doing that on purpose? Does she not know how to spell it?
What a damaged mess.
She's like, when I was a kid, my parents divorced. And it's like, so did everyone else's. Come on, can you get deeper than this?
This poor girl does the real picture where it's, you know, all the things she loves at 10.
Uh-huh.
Like candy and friends and jump rope and all these childlike things. And then this tortured artist looks at that and goes, well, when I was 10, my parents, they divorced and I hated life. So I'm just going to do this picture about divorce and suicide.
And then show it to the little kid. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And I'm going to show it to this little girl. In hopes that I'm going to damage her as much as I am damaged.
That would have been great if the kid was like, that's not how you spell divorce. But
are you stupid?
This week on the show, you know, they did rip from the headlines, and I felt bad for the Suck Lord when he can't do literal translations or whatever, and that is exactly what he was doing.
He's an artiste.
He just does what interests him. I don't think he's a deep thinker at all.
But that's his art. You know, how can you criticize somebody for just wanting to have fun?
Right.
And being themselves. That's what art's supposed to be.
Who are
these assholes?
Like, I don't think this is deep enough. That's kind of my problem with the show a little bit is...
Your mom goes to college.
It's
how you interpret art?
Yeah, everybody interpret art, but also it's like... It makes them do something that they don't want to do.
Right, right. And it doesn't give them enough time to even think about it.
Yeah. No. I mean, 12 hours or less.
And somebody has to win or whatever. And I think the last couple of winners, I've been like, no. Like, what are you talking about? And
I always go back to the guy that did spinning with a camera.
Well, we had the prop 9, and then last week, I didn't mind that drawing, but it wasn't, you know, they're like, tell me something. What does this tell me? It's got to move me. It's got to tell me. It's got to make me feel something. That's what they want the art to do. This
but that's
tells
up
me
to
nothing.
Them.
Right,
that's
right.
That's not up to the artist. The artist is doing what they have time to do.
But the thing is, what they say is what they want the art to do. Their winners hasn't made me feel that way.
No, not at all.
What a pile
There's
of
not
shit,
a single person you know? That has won this competition in the weeks that I've gone, wow, you know what? That was a really great piece. They really did deserve that.
Okay, the Asian guy, he did the bundles of black newspaper with the headline on it bundled up like, it's yesterday's news, it's forgotten, but it's still important. I'm like, what in the hell did you get that from that?
Yeah.
All I see is a pile of shit on the floor. What the hell? And it's it's very... very interesting concept you got there.
Here is my newspaper bundles for firewood.
Yeah, this guy's a very important artist, and he's disappeared. And it's like, I didn't get any of that from your bundles of garbage on the floor. Your black newspaper.
Ai Weiwei.
And I did think it was funny that the Suck Lord, he's like, I'll put this newspaper on it, and I'll just say the newspaper's fault, too, or something. New York Times fault, too. I just thought it was funny. Let's go ahead and check out this clip. It's good stuff.
I'm not in such a hot mood. I almost got kicked off trying to reinterpret a child's piece of artwork. And my best friend, Tooze, got kicked off.
Tooze, your work of art didn't work for us. It's time for you to go.
You know, I've put everything I have into these things, and I'm not cutting any ice.
Create your own world. Stop the Star Wars. If I ever see it again, I'm going to get medieval on you.
Duly noted, sir. Thank you. I'm from New York. I survive. I'm tough like a cockroach.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Good morning.
Welcome to the New York Times.
Yay!
You all know the phrase, ripped from the headlines. And for this challenge, we are asking you to do just that. Suck Lord, you look deep in thought.
I can't phone in another turkey or I'm finished.
Suck Lord, use the force.
Phone in another
I've been forbidden to use the force, so.
You will have to find a headline that inspires your next work of art somewhere in these piles of newspapers.
Suck Lord.
Hello, sir.
Which headline did you choose?
BP agrees to pay $1 billion for a start of Gulf restoration. What I'm trying to really do is just use the paper as a frame, and then this is going to be a little painting of a coastal village soaked in oil, and the oil is going to be like dripping out.
What have the judges been asking to see from you?
They want me to stop borrowing and stealing from Star Wars so much. They don't want to see literal translations of things.
Well, I mean, you've taken the headline that intrigued you, and then you've recreated the page nearly tel-quel. So for me, that is pretty literal. I mean, it couldn't be more literal than that.
Well, that's encouraging.
Sorry. Maybe you can transform it into something looking impressive.
There's that word again, transformational. I'm not transforming it. I don't know what that means. I was just doing what I thought was the right thing to do, and then he says that to me, and it's like, I can't do this. Young's piece is pretty bad, actually. You know, it doesn't really look like much. It's not abstract. It just sort of says one thing and one thing only, but if that works for you, well, then touche, my friend.
Why doesn't he like what you're doing, Suck?
He thought it was very literal, and that's been a problem for me. I'm going to see if I can change my headline, and if I can change it, maybe I can do something different. Does anybody give a if we change our headline?
No. I don't care, man.
Fine. Then it's like you get to pick whatever you want now, and you have like hours.
Oh, shut up. I'm just trying not to get eliminated. Everybody says no problem, except Michelle.
That's like changing the rules.
That's just...
I've got a rule.
That's so incredibly petty and lame. But I gotta stick with this because I still haven't figured out how to incorporate the newspaper into it, and I'm just like lost in the weeds. I'm gonna stick with what I got. I'm gonna just make fake money and pour oil on it. Yeah, I just spent 5 hours on ripping off an artist I don't even like.
Obviously, I really like the Suck Lord, and his insecurity makes him more appealing in a way. So I don't want the Suck Lord to go home.
No, we don't want him to go home either. He's
the best person there.
He's the most entertaining. And it drove me nuts that the Asian guy won again. It's just so boring.
He's showing exactly what's wrong with this show. Like Steven said, they're not giving the people any chance to be artists.
Yeah.
They're saying, do this. And then they say, don't be literal.
I hated the United States with the silhouettes. I thought that was so lame.
Yeah.
They're sad and everything. He did... obvious. That's I thought it was so obvious.
Literal translation, wasn't it?
People are down in America. America? People looking down in silhouette? Come on! That was the most literal translation ever. It was horrible.
Now, if they would give them, say, a week, you know, they probably couldn't have as big a crew or whatever, but, you know, narrow it down to eight people and have...
Final, they give them 6 months, right?
Yeah. The final thing is interesting. I like how they do that. I don't know. I mean, some of the people that have been eliminated, it's been like, oh, okay. You
just
know.
Say, even if they gave you 2 or 3 days to work on something, you know, versus...
The black guy's stuff was horrible, though. Those doors.
Week in, week out, he is horrible.
Why is the door one doorknob higher? He goes, well, I painted it on the wrong side. Why didn't you just repaint it?
Because I'm lazy.
It's so bad.
Like if something doesn't involve like a projector with him,
it's not an art piece.
Yeah, God, that was bad. Oh, those doors. I was just like, ugh. That was the only when I knew Sucklord could be eliminated. I was like, he's not, though. That black dude's got to go. I think it's awful.
The doors were off.
Mm-hmm.
Said it really had nothing to do with the newspaper. It's like the story didn't match anything.
Boy, was that bad. Now,
you know, and I think I really kind of began cheering for the Suck Lord, Jesus. That name,
or
whenever,
Suck, as some people call him.
Last week, whenever he said, you know, when I was a kid, I wasn't the Suck Lord. I was his real name, and, you know, this is what I loved, and this is who I was, and it really kind of brought me back working with a child, and, you know, and I was like, wow, this guy is, he's an artist, and he's kind of one of us.
Right.
He's just trying to do his thing.
And now the problem is they've gotten his head where he just wants to show them what they want to see. And
exactly. He's not allowed to do his thing anymore.
I'm going to just make fake money and pour oil on it. Yeah.
Yeah, if they think that this show is helping art in any way, I actually feel it's hindering it. Because it's screwing with the artists.
Duly noted, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do like when the guy comes in.
We've had people cry 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. No, I'm a good artist.
Well, I mean, the one that
I can understand it is hard to take criticism.
The same every week.
Yeah, absolutely, it was the same every week. But I mean, again, these are people that should have never been on there.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I used to try to draw. I used to want to be an artist or whatever, and I gave up on that dream, but I had been critiqued, and it is hard when it's bad criticism where it's like, here's what you're doing wrong, everything, this looks bad, you got to work on this and stuff. I'm just like, screw it, I'm not doing this shit anymore. You know, it's very discouraging at times.
But I've always loved his drawings.
But if you see these people who are like own galleries and shit telling you like, you're not showing me the same thing, they don't even seem that discouraging. They're just telling you, stop showing me the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I guess that some people can't hear because they're kind of stuck in their mindset of doing the same thing all the time. And they just, I don't know.
Well, I got stuck doing a series of things, you know, in an art class. It was like, okay, we got a project. Okay, do something with the human heart. It was right around Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the human heart or the, you know, the little Valentine's cutout heart, whatever. Right, right. And I got stuck, and that's all I could see for like 6 months or a year. I couldn't. Everything I did had a heart in it or something.
Yeah, you kind of. You know what you made me think of, though, is when you're working on your project, you look over and someone's doing this piece of shit, like cardboard thing hanging on a coat hanger, mobile or something. You're like, what the hell? And you see the teacher like, oh, this is really looking pretty good. And you're like, what the hell? I don't know. I just, I'd be like that where it's just like, Jesus, that looks.
I'm going to get medieval on you.
Ah. All right, guys, let's talk about Top Chef Texas, huh?
Ooh.
You know, these first two episodes, they did kind of this rapid thing. It kind of reminded me of MasterChef a little.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
Yeah, where they go in and kind of audition with their food, and they put people in the bubble room. I kind of like that idea. They need to do that on MasterChef, make a bubble room. But there was this one Asian guy that kind of cracked me up. He seemed really competitive, and he was in the bubble room, and he's asking, so what do you cook? Oh, on so and so. He goes, oh,
on a
cruise ship, huh? And it just seemed like so judgmental the way
such an asshole.
Yeah.
I cook real food.
I felt bad for the black guy. He goes, how much time do I have left? She goes, a minute. And he's like, oh, and he didn't plate a single thing. It's like, what the hell happened to that guy? That was really sad. But in the first episode, I can't forget about the guy who wanted to, what do they call it? Carve the animal? Or slaughter it? I don't know. Where he was doing all the chopping of the meat.
Oh, the Beverly Hills just cook butcher or whatever.
Yeah, Kalikia was like, have you ever butchered before? And he's like, no.
He was hacking the shit out of that thing.
Yeah. He goes, I think you should just go now. And he's like, wait, what? He goes, you're not going to make it, dude. Just get out of here. He's like,
I like whenever the girl came up and asked for the loin. And he was like, well, here's a little bit of it on this cut.
It's like massacred.
You want this? That's a pork chop.
Well, the loin's in the center of it.
Yeah, and then he kind of, Tom talked to her, and he's just like, maybe you shouldn't let other people do that. Yeah, okay.
I think they, you know, they purposely screwed people.
Yeah, that guy was an actor.
I just don't think that, you know.
They sent him in just to sabotage people.
Yeah, that's funny.
Where's my pork?
It's like, wait, I saw that guy in a commercial once.
I think his name was Butcher Pete.
he's hacking, he's whacking. All right, let's check this out. It's kind of a best of stuff that went on.
In the stew room on the bubble, there's me, bubble. Molly, Edward, and Janine.
Who do you think else we're going to be cooking with?
I do feel like I've already been through like 3 challenges or something, but I worked at Sean George for a long time, which was hard as hell, but I got through it. So I'm going to have to remember what I'm here for, and that's to win.
Now, the joke is there's actually no spots. We're just going to cook.
Yeah, we're just cooking.
I just want to see us
messing with us.
We're getting to know each other. It's just like prisoners in a room together. We're starting to bond. I feel like I know you.
I feel like we've been through so much together.
All kidding aside, I don't want anyone to get in over me. So I don't know if I want to get too friendly with anyone. There's still a third group, right? Because there was 3 groups.
We're likely looking at 2 more people.
What do you think's going on in the other room?
We can't imagine it's just us, you know? Like, I'm sure that there's got to be a few.
Oh, hola.
I walk into the stew room.
What is with the music?
There's 4 chefs in there already. I feel a little uneasy.
What are you in for? I got mushrooms.
But I'm ready to move on. Go cook 5 times today if they want me to.
We're looking at 2 minutes.
Hey, you need help? I have time.
How much time do I have? You have any idea?
I think you got 1 minute.
Huh?
1 minute.
1 minute for me?
1 minute.
Thank you.
I can help you play.
I say to myself, Chaz, you got 30 seconds. Try something.
You need
anything?
Anyone
ever help?
My plate's over there.
He takes the risotto, Chaz. Tells me it's okay, but
unless
I know it's not looking too good for him.
Time's up, and it's heartbreaking. It just destroys me inside to know that I'm not going to be able to give the judges something.
What happened?
I made an ass out of myself. I thought I had 4 minutes left. I was happy with it, but there's nothing.
The risotto's cooked.
It's cooked.
How did you lose track of time?
I was trying to stay on top of it as much as I could. It's 40 minutes to cook risotto. I don't blame anybody but myself.
I mean,
Chaz, unfortunately, we really have nothing to judge you on. Please pack your knives and go.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Minnesota.
Is that what you're cooking now?
I cook on The Allure of the Seas for Royal Caribbean.
Oh, cruise ship.
I expect some of the chefs to look down on
like
what
that'd
I
be
do.
Cool.
And
it would
okay.
be cool.
I think everybody in this competition has something to prove here. And I am absolutely ready to defend my territory.
Maybe there's only 2 spots.
Maybe there's only 2 spots.
I bet you there's only 1 spot.
Hell no.
Oh, don't even do that.
If they leave me here in the stew room long enough, I'm going to kill the other 5 people to get that jacket. That's how bad I want it.
Oh, my God. They will have a murderer.
Kick him off the show. He's a serial killer.
It's not about cooking. It's about murder.
Where did so-and-so go? I haven't seen her. She's like all cut up.
I'm going to go get a
something.
Drink out of this closet. Oh, my God.
Who's in here? Guys, this isn't funny. It turns into a slasher movie.
He's serving.
It's
going to
be a blast.
There's a bomb in it.
That guy was a dick, and he made it on there.
He was Al-Qaeda.
I'm going to kill all of you people. Don't you mean you're just going to beat us in the show and be the winner? Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, yeah, I'll murder you that way.
Oh, my God.
Murder you with flavor.
Suck, Lord, use the Force.
Yes, use the Force.
He's forbidden to use the Force.
So blow the Force out your ass.
I thought it was weird they did these first 2 episodes like this. Just like
a shitload
of people.
I was actually bored with the bubble episode.
Yeah, what? It just... So the real first episode is next week, I guess?
Yeah, why waste... I mean, I guess they were just wasting time.
Yeah, they
like
wanted,
trying to pad out the season.
They wanted Emerald to get comfortable.
Yeah, show.
I do like that. See, they got that Hugh guy there.
We do.
Yeah, he's great. I really enjoy him.
You know, I'm kind of neurotic. Where you know how they had the three people, two of them would tell you what they thought, and if you got winner, whatever. I would want to be like, well, what did you think? Also, I gotta know.
I got to know.
I definitely got to know.
I'm a little bored with this Top Chef. I mean, maybe once it gets going, now that they've got everyone. But I hate these episodes where it's, at least with MasterChef, it's entertaining. You have the wackos along with the good people.
Right.
This is just a bunch of arrogance.
Yeah, we've got the Asian guy to root against so far. So we'll see who else makes it.
You know, on a cruise ship, they, especially with those, Norwegian cruise lines? They take those things really seriously. Like, they actually have separate restaurants. It's not just like some buffet line.
That seems like it'd be fun to do.
Absolutely. You get to see the world. It's like I watched one of those specials on, you know, the inner workings of these cruise ships, and especially the largest cruise ships, about how, like, end-to-end, it's almost like a mile worth of walkway, and there's just so many people and so much stuff to do. And they even talked to just a maintenance guy who would, you know, chip salt that had built up on the outside of the ship off. And he's like, listen, I, you know, this is one of the most satisfying jobs in the world. I get to see the world. My family gets to be with me.
Oh, that's
cool. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a chef on a ship.
And part of me would be like, it's like living on a spaceship.
Absolutely. It's like living in the B&L ship from WALL-E.
That'd be totally sweet. Or the Enterprise, something like that, you know.
Awesome. The Voyager.
Let's go visit Guinan.
Guinan.
To the temple.
Let's go watch number one play a stupid trombone or whatever. What is his trumpet? All right, guys, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about an insane family on Kitchen Nightmares, huh?
Wow.
Whack jobs. All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Today, Junior.
We'll be
right back.
Stardate 45484.7. While exploring a planet near the neutral zone, the Enterprise shuttlecraft comes under disruptive cannon fire from a Romulan warbird. The shuttlecraft fires back with its phasers, which are deflected by the Romulan shields. Suddenly, the Enterprise appears, firing her photon torpedoes. Outgunned, the Romulan warbird activates its cloaking device and is gone. Under impulse power, Enterprise maneuvers out of orbit before engaging warp drive. Star Trek The Next Generation. New action accessories from Playmates.
Big, I'm hungry.
An earthquake! Yow!
Newton Mole, what are you doing?
Sir Tank Sam, I'm looking for breakfast, but it is so dark.
You're in luck. My tasty Kellogg's Fruit Loops are in brighter colors.
What's bright?
Just twirling my nose to the bright color of Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
Now I see the shine of orange, lemon, cherry, and lime.
Fruit Loops, the bright part of this nutritious breakfast.
Ooh, they are bright.
Dig in.
Yum, yum, yum. Ooh, who turned out the lights?
A few more will turn you on. Follow your nose to a most colorful fruit taste.
Citrus two!
Citrus two.
Citrus two!
Citrus two!
Citrus two.
It's not just Tetris. Now challenge the system or go head-to-head. Different shapes, different shades, and this time, there's bombs in it. It's Tetris 2 on Game Boy or NES.
This holiday season.
We need a dog.
We've been through this 100 times.
Kid, get me out of here.
Join Molly and James.
Now we have two dogs.
Mikey and Julie.
Cute pet dog.
And Rox and Daphne.
I coughed up hairballs better looking than you.
As they experience the Christmas.
And a vulcan.
They'll never stop talking about.
I hate this haircut. My butt is freezing.
Look Who's Talking Now. Rated PG-13.
Starts Friday, November 5th at a theater near you.
Help! We've been wrong!
Stop! Stop, evildoers!
Introducing Super Stretching Superhero Stretch Armstrong. Yes, Stretch Armstrong, now stretching fun farther than ever before. He bends, he stretches, even ties and knots, but always returns to his original shape.
How does he do that?
He's been doing that since he was a kid. Stretch Armstrong from Cap Toys. Who else?
The Wild Ones.
They go everywhere and they really fly.
Wild Ones, they go anywhere you do.
Racing with no track to hold you back. Impossible. Curves, bumps, spins. You control them.
The Wild Ones.
From Buddy L.
Bumble around with the bumble ball, baby. Bumble, bumble, bumble around. Silly little ball, and I don't mean maybe. Makes you laugh when you pick it up or put it down. Everybody loves trying to get a handle on the bumble ball. Big, gentle, wacky bumbling motion keeps you busy or puts you in a tizzy. Are we having a ball or just losing our grip? Who cares? Bumble around with the bumble ball, baby. It's the wackiest ball in town. The bumble ball from Ertl.
Watch me trick Fred.
Crocosaurus Rex.
We need something super chocolatey. Gigantic chocolatey taste. Later.
Bonnie!
Gotta split.
How's Cocoa Pebble cereal part of this complete breakfast? Step right up. Free Bedrock ink stamp.
Fred. Wow. Trappy's Barney.
It's a circus of fun. One free ink stamp and marked boxes of pebbles.
This is the Micro Machines battle tank. And when it stops rolling, the battle gets going. Because it transforms into a Micro Machines secret military base.
Real cool!
The battle begins with a direct hit. But these troops and tanks plan a counterattack. They take out the bridge and fire their missiles. Yeah, the battle's done for today. You can pack her up and take it away. New Micro Machines battle tank. You put it together, vehicles and figures sold separately.
Now be polite when you meet Mrs. Vanderlug, and do as you're told.
Mrs. Vanderlug!
It's time to have some fun.
Come on down, Pixies, and have a ball.
Let's do everything.
Do as you're told.
Let's jump back.
That away.
Jump and score.
Play one more.
Did you mind, Mrs. Vanderlug?
They did everything they were told.
Where a kid can't be the kid.
First remote control, next radio control. Now there's voice control with voice command.
Ready for command.
Start the engine.
Look, man, no hands.
Let's move it now.
Voice command, vehicles you control with special commands from Buddy L.
Attack back!
Think this battle's big? Get a load of the Sliminator. You push the chain and transform a cement truck into a vicious beast with jagged jaws.
Cool!
Sliminator takes to the sky.
Attack back!
He captures the enemy and gives them the slime of their lives.
Yuck!
Sliminator. He's one slimy character.
Slimy!
Attack Pack Sliminator comes with slime gel. You put it together. Other vehicles sold separately. New from Hot Wheels.
I heard him yelling in the castle.
Fix me!
His name's Big Frank!
Fix me!
I said, I'm going to fix you! No talking monster, Big Frank!
I'll fix you, Big Frank! Monster Ball is fixed! How do you feel now, Frank?
I'm alive!
It's always fun to fix him! My doggy monster, Big Frank!
Thank you.
Big Frank talks and his eyes light up. Batteries not included.
Hi, I'm Jason, the Red Ranger and the leader of the Power Rangers.
Wow, it's the Red Ranger! Oh, he's so morphin'!
It's tough taking on some of the meanest uglies, but when I call on the power of the mighty Tyrannosaurus, I kick it. What a cool gig. I save people, protect cities, fight monsters.
And you also have to do your homework.
Man, a superhero's job is never done. So be sure to watch me and the other Mighty Morphin Power Rangers weekdays and Saturday on Fox.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy squealed when I smoked him like a greasy slab of sausage.
Go, Franny! Join Sparkster to crush the swine army in Konami's Rocket Knight Adventures or Sega Genesis. Unleash your animal urges with the only possum to hang with. Pigs fly with a flash of his sword and he's rocket-powered.
I love the smell of bacon in the morning.
Play possum on Rocket Knight Adventures from Konami.
What makes new Buño Alito cereal a Mexican adventure?
It's as fun to say as it is to eat.
The sweet, crunchy combination of cinnamon and a touch of honey is a Mexican adventure of fun in every bite. The cinnamon and honey part of this balanced breakfast.
As fun to say. As it is to eat.
Jesse Charlie was on the loose, but so was a maniac.
Lego Maniac!
Crazy Charlie was crazy to think he'd escape a Lego Maniac. Lego System Town Rescue Collection. Each set sold separately. Maniac not included.
In the future, you have to defrost a cop to put a criminal on ice. Sylvester Stallone is John Spartan, the Demolition Man. The toughest cop in the 21st century. But Wesley Snipes is cold-blooded Simon Phoenix.
Silence is free! Now frolic, chicken.
But Demolition Man always keeps his cool.
Hey, you didn't say Simon Says.
The future isn't big enough for the both of them. Demolition Man figures in both a jet and sold separately new from Mattel.
It's going to be a blast.
Hey, Bill, you still watching Revenge?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was pissed there wasn't an episode this week.
I know. They had the Country Music Awards.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because Wednesday night, I was all excited. I was like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. That means Revenge was on already, so I can just bring it up on my DVR.
That show's addictive.
Man, I just love it because of the... I love seeing, like, hoity-toity rich people get taken down.
Like, just that fake smile. Like,
yeah.
You know what I hate about you?
Everything!
There was one episode where they were at a benefit thing, and Madeline Stowe was there with her enemy who slept with her husband, and she's smiling.
Lydia.
She's like, I'm going to destroy you. Just like, go. I just crack up a little bit.
I was waiting for like the evil laugh. Yeah, it's like, just so satisfying. Just
and there's a creepy moment this week where there was some weird gay stuff that went on. And, I mean, the week before. And the main characters, you know that one creepy rich guy who follows her around everywhere?
Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan. She's like, keep it up or whatever. He goes, don't worry, I will. And I was just like, oh, innuendo. Yeah.
innuendo.
Oh.
I kind of like that scene where the guy that's the creepy friend of Daniel's.
Right.
That Nolan meets with him, and they're having the whole discussion about sexuality. He's like, well, Nolan's like, yeah, well, I rate about a 3 on the Kinsey scale myself.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what? What the hell? Yeah, that was that's right. I'm still I like that show. I like Revenge. I'm also watching Sons of Anarchy. That's gotten good.
Oh my god,
this kind of shocking.
This week's episode I was puckered.
No.
So totally puckered.
The character of Clay, did he turn bad too fast? Or
I don't know. I think he's always been bad.
He's never been a great person, but it just seemed like he's all out for himself suddenly to me. I don't know.
I can follow it because his hands are disintegrating fast.
And he was in prison, so he's kind of like, dude, what do I have to show for all this shit? Nothing.
Yeah, turned bad. I kind of think it's kind of like the situation whenever they had to get rid of John Teller, where, you know, he kind of went really bad then, and now he's just doing it again.
Right.
But the stuff with Tara's hand and all that, I was just like, damn you, Kurt Sutter.
I know.
What are you doing?
He'll do anything to one of his characters.
It's pure misery.
Yeah.
Jax is stuck in it, and Jax hasn't even read the letters yet.
I know. The way they showed Tara and Jax kind of like their family free, they got like a glimpse of it, just a taste of what it would be like, just for a few moments, and just to be like all sucked back in. But yeah, that's gotten good. And you know what? There's another show I don't know why I've watched this. I just like goofy food shows. But there's a show called Top Secret Recipe on...
That guy cracks me up. He is so weird.
Yeah, he is. It's Todd Wilbur. He's a food hacker. That's what he takes recipes like KFC and he tries to duplicate it, Stephen.
Okay. I watched the Blooming Onion episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And like he meets the way it's so theatrical.
Staged,
though.
Yeah.
Because with that episode, he meets somebody from. We don't know if they're from.
Yeah, it's like
Outback.
It's Deep Throat, but he's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I can't tell you if I ever worked for Outback Steakhouse, but I need to give you some information. And it's like, what?
I never worked for them.
You have to put the onions in water overnight.
Okay, but here's the thing. Every week he tries to do something like he wants to duplicate Domino's Pizza, Dippin' Dots. Another one? What was another one? Shit.
Why would you want to duplicate any of those things?
Cinnabon. He's trying to food hack. Yeah, he always makes a deal. If I can do it, I get free food for a year or life. And they go, okay. He fails every single episode.
Yeah, every one of them.
He's never gotten it. He's failed every time. And this week he did Dippin' Dots, which I thought would be kind of hard until he figured out how to do it by looking for different clues. There were like six different kids, and they had. He goes, "Oh, kid's doing the taste test. Maybe I have a chance here." He, not a single one of them thought, because they do the real Dippin' Dots. His, they look identical, and they taste them. He failed across the board.
Did he use liquid nitrogen to freeze them?
Yes. The problem, okay. What he did was, he was tasting so much of it that he kept burning his tongue.
Oh, that moron.
And then when he was doing the banana part, he was like, not strong enough. But what he didn't realize is he couldn't taste anything.
He yeah,
was
he couldn't.
Too strong. And they were like, the banana was too harsh. And he's like, damn it. And, you know, it's always, everything seems so staged and goofy.
Yeah.
Like there's, like he says, show me this in the laboratory. They're like, we can't show you that. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he'll reach and like grab it, stuff it in his pocket or
something. Yeah, and then run out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll like, there was one where he needed a specific kind of onion for Bloomin' Onions, but it's only sold to Outback Steakhouse.
Yes.
So he's like, well, I'll order these onions here. And when the girl walks away, he runs over and grabs the onions and puts them on his
palate. Yeah, he grabs a bag and puts them on the palate.
It's just like, it's so.
And then the other bags
joke.
Wouldn't stay on. They kept falling off.
Yeah.
So he had to run back over and restack them real quick.
And the Cinnabon lady, he tracked down the lady who created Cinnabon, the Cinnabons. And she wouldn't tell him anything, but her mother lived with her, like this elderly woman. He goes, I need to use the bathroom. I'll be right back. He goes and he goes, okay, Grandma, here's what I need to know. And he's like questioning this old lady. And then the mom, the other lady, her daughter comes in. She goes, what are you doing in here, Todd? And he goes, oh, nothing. I was just saying hi to your mother. And she's like, mother, did you tell him anything? It's like, come on.
Yeah.
This is so phony. But I don't know why I'm watching it. But I do.
When it's on and I'm flipping through the channels, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Because I can't resist shows like that.
I wanted to do
especially with somebody trying to figure things out.
Yeah. He also has this weird lab guy that he calls every once in a while on his
yeah.
laptop. And the guy's like this eccentric dweeb scientist or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I remember on the, what was it? The Bloomin' Onion episode. He kept calling the guy trying to figure out what the vinegar was.
Yeah, what's in this sauce you dip it in? What is this? And it's really silly. It's a goofy show, and it's on
it
the
is really goofy.
Country Music Channel, isn't it?
Yeah, CMT. That's what kind of surprised me. I was like, what the hell is this on CMT for?
I saw the commercial like on the Food Network or something, and I was like, what? What is it doing? Okay, I'm going to tag this and see what it's like. But it's just silly.
I want to see him duplicate Auntie Anne's pretzels, because I freaking loved those as a kid.
Well, next week he's doing Mrs. Fields cookies.
What's he going to do? Yeah, famous.
Of all the cookies? I mean, come on. Mrs. Fields cookies aren't anything special. I make kick-ass cookies, and all I do is use the chewy recipe from Alton Brown.
I was a little taken aback by the Domino's pizza. I was like,
who the hell wants to duplicate that
shit?
Yeah,
and it was Domino's cheese pizza. There's like nothing else on it but cheese. I don't.
And the Domino's pizza gives me the worst heartburn in the world. I can't eat it.
And it's the newer Domino's pizza, their new recipe after those kids did the YouTube video.
it doesn't even matter. I think last year when I went to Nag's Head, North Carolina, on our drive back, it's a long drive, and we couldn't do it. My mom was too tired to drive. My dad was too tired to drive, and I was fading fast. So we stopped somewhere in Virginia, and we were all hungry, so we ordered Domino's pizza. And I was like, oh, it's the new pizza. Okay, I'll give it a shot. Bull. I didn't get any sleep that night. There was constant acid in my throat. So bad.
And now they have that new pizza and Fabio is on the commercial.
Oh, yeah. I like they call it artesian.
Yeah, artesian pizza.
That is – if you see the word artesian on something, don't get it. That's the new in word.
Papa Murphy's has won me over, though. I don't want any other kind of pizza now.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. I wish we still had them around here. I wouldn't have to always make pizza when I wanted
it. It's like crack. I crave it all the time. I really do. Like
really good meth.
You know, I try to, like, eat better and stuff now, but I got to be careful with that because I'll be like, oh, my God, this is, like, my fifth slice. I need to put this down because it's so goddamn good. I mean, I'm like.
So tasty.
It's like I take the bite and, like, kind of just, like, let it all squish between my teeth, and I'm just like, God, this is good, man. I'm like hitting the table. Damn, this is good. Then
whenever you don't have it, your teeth start chattering.
I'll give Emma like two big slices of pepperoni, and she'll go, "Daddy, can I have some more?" I'm like, "What?" And I'm
it's
like,
"Mine."
Like she's a picky eater, and the fact that she eats all of that shows you that it's good, you know? Because she thought she liked CC's or like Pizza Hut. I had Pizza Hut recently because somebody else got it, and I was like, oh, I'll eat a slice. It's like, oh, this garbage, garbage.
Was it the pan pizza?
It was the flat, salty
cracker crust.
Oh,
those are the worst.
You know what I mean? They have the real thin crust where it's like you could break it in half and
it's
shatter.
It's like a flour tortilla pizza.
Yeah. And it seems like it's good. I mean, like, okay, this will fill me up. You know, it's not great or anything. And then later on, you get horrible heartburn. But Papa Murphy's, I know, I should be paid by these people, Bill, because I mention it all the time.
We need to be an advertiser.
I know. And I'm telling you, I get joy from this food. It's not just like, hey, let's order pizza, stuff it down my throat, and do whatever. I'm like sitting there and having an experience with it.
I remember kept telling you. I was like, dude, you got two Papa Murphy's in either direction of you. You got to try
it. Okay, I'm going to try it. Now I'm there every week and
They know you by name. They go, hey, Jason.
They have a keychain.
Trying to avoid them.
You get a keychain, you get $1 off any large pizza or $2 off a family size, and you show it. Now when I go in there, like, oh, you got the keychain. You know, they know me now. They're like, hey, it's that guy. It's that guy. I mean, he's friggin' addicted over here.
You want the family pizza, right?
I'm waiting for them to go, you want to buy into this? Because, you know, we're looking.
I've looked into it.
And I watched the video.
I'll tell you what. Those franchises, man, you make no money on them.
Oh, boo.
It's like I think it's like 60 to 70% of your net profit goes to Papa Murphy Corporate.
Why?
Yeah, you only make like 30%.
Yeah, because I watched the video where they're like, we come and we design everything. We find you the location. I was like, wow, that sounds kind of controlling.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I don't know why anybody would do franchises. There's no money in it.
You just have to invent your own style. All right.
Well, we can do it. I'll do the dough. And, you know,
we've got our 80s pizza place we planned with the.
Yeah, we do.
Crack their.
Yeah, they're. We need to hack their pizza, Bill.
Hack their pizza.
There you go.
We need
you
to
know what?
Todd
I pretty
Wilbur.
Much have. I've figured out their dough pretty well.
I love the way that guy goes, I'm a food hacker. I'm like, what? He's like got a computer hooked up to a sandwich. He's like, all right, let me see the matrix.
Here's the molecule.
Let me analyze this on a molecular level.
It's just like ones and zeros going across the screen to his ham sandwich. It's like, whoa. All right, guys, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. The Burger Kitchen, huh? Yeah.
Nightmare.
Holy freaking. This was one of those episodes where if I was Gordon, I was I think I'm going to leave.
I'll quit.
I'm going to slip out the back. Because, okay, first of all...
I'm going to go hide in the freezer.
You had the clueless parents.
Yeah, wow.
Also embezzled from their son, who is like this real kind of weenie kid, isn't he? Or he's just...
He is very... Well, okay. You know what?
He's been messed up.
I hate to call him weenie because he's been beaten down so many times.
He's totally been beaten down. And I just get the sense from his girlfriend, she's been trying to, she defends him for him, oh, yeah. and his yeah. parents can't stand her. And then you have the chef, David Blaine, who can't stand anybody who thinks they're all, did you notice he's like, calls them all crackheads or meth heads?
Yeah, or you need Prozac. That was my favorite part. He kept saying that the mom needed Prozac, and she kept going, I'm not on Prozac.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying, you moron.
She even says, I don't even know what it does. And I was like, oh, you need to find out, okay?
What are you people? On dope?
Well, she stops him and goes, David, I'm not on Prozac. It's like, well, you need to be.
I know. It's just like a T-ball. She just set that there, and he's got the bat, and he's like, well, you need to be. Bam! Zing!
Well, I like how the father's completely clueless. Okay?
Well, the father's beyond clueless. Well, I think about father this. Might be retarded.
Yeah, the father left Australia because he didn't want to join his father's company. But yet
his father's company was the freaking mafia.
Yeah, we did research on that because remember.
But he drug his son into a business that he didn't want to be into. Right. He did the same exact thing.
Well, he shows Gordon that book. I wrote a book about my father called Gentle Satan. I was like, what is this? So I'm looking it up. His dad was a friggin' crime boss in Australia.
Yeah, he was like the godfather.
Yeah, the family business was the mafia, the mob or whatever in Australia, whatever you call it. And he was like a ruthless guy. And he controlled everything. He was like the guy. What did
they called him something like Dawn of the Golden Strip or something. He was like the head guy of Eastern Australia. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. And so
there's movies, documentaries.
He's talking about the relationship he had with his dad, and then the guy doesn't even realize what he's done to his son.
Exact same
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, he just took my money, and he said, now I'm part of the restaurant. And I don't even think he has paper to show what he owns, what stake he owns.
He had that piece of paper who said, they printed this up on their own computer. It's worthless.
And the thing that was heartbreaking is we read that when this guy went down, when his father died or whatever, he got $500,000, the father. And the son and the other children got $1 million. So basically, the father spent all his money and was like, well, hey, do you have any of that $1 million left? Could I borrow?
And how old is the son? Because if his dad's controlling it, I'd be like, this is bullshit. Give me my money. Why are you handling it? He must be under 25.
No, he's 29 now.
Why doesn't he control his money? I don't understand that.
It sounds like the son is just as dumb. I mean,
I hate to
say it.
Yeah.
Because the kid is damaged, obviously.
Totally.
But for him to give the money away, I think that's why the wife is just so, she seems kind of like a nagger.
And she gets hooked up on weird tangents that you made a mushroom sauce. And it's like, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But you put wine in the mushroom.
It's like, honey, shut the hell up. She goes, well, I'm going to get the checkbook. She a big production out of it, slams it down, opens it up. Honey, we're not going to write the check. I'll take care. Okay. You know, he doesn't tell her, we don't have any money in our bank. That's not going to do anything. Well, let's check out this moment where Gordon kind of talks to him at first, and he blames all of their problems on, Oh, right. He blames all of their problems on the website Yelp. Remember that?
Oh.
Let's check this out.
How long have you been open?
16 months.
So 16 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So just opened.
Yes.
Is the business making money?
No. We're losing $5,000 up to $6,000 a month every month.
Wow, wow, wow. How can it get so wrong?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things that I think we did wrong. I think we changed the menu too many times.
How many times have you changed the menu? Son.
Probably 10.
10 times?
Yeah.
That's nearly once a month. What about the chef? I mean, normally a menu changes when the chef changes. How many chefs have you had?
About 10.
10 as well?
Yes.
The front of house been as bad?
Yeah, we've been through about 20 servers.
10
Someone's
menus.
Having a fun time with the
chefs.
Sound effects.
20 servers. What's going wrong?
Yelp has killed us. Yelp has trashed us terribly. They're also deleting 5-star reviews.
Oh, come on.
I can prove it. You're on the Yelp.
It's a conspiracy.
Is there a plot against you from Yelp to close this business?
No question in my mind.
Oh, Alan, come on. You've been watching too many Bond movies. So, opening restaurants really? In LA is pretty expensive. Where did the money come from?
Alan had about $250,000 that he inherited from his dad's estate.
Okay, nice.
So he put all that money into it, and then we started running out of money. And in order to open, my husband went to my son.
Mm-hmm.
And now my son, Daniel, is in for another, I think, over $250,000 as well, because he inherited some money, too.
I was managing his money, so I actually took part of that money.
And as the manager of his funds, you then invested it in the business.
Yes.
Did your son Daniel know?
Well, of course, he knew eventually.
Wow.
What do you say eventually?
I told him after the fact.
What?
I kind of forced him into it by taking his money.
Seriously.
Those sound effects help me kind of figure out what's going on in the scene.
Yeah, they kind of draw a mental picture.
That,
like, I see native aboriginals playing.
How funny was it when Gordon ordered that 1-pound cowboy burger and he goes, dude, we don't have any more big buns? Put that tiny bun on top of it.
And then he tried to take a bite of it and couldn't.
He just held it for the longest time. Like, just where, what angle, like, do I?
Why would anybody buy that?
I know. A 1-pound burger.
$38.
Yeah.
They're using the, he, oh. I'm getting, like, flabbergasted. It was so stupid.
What was that weird meat he kept talking
about? They're using Kobe beef. It's called Wagyu.
Yeah, Wagyu.
The guy thinks because they're using this expensive, very fatty beef that automatically it makes good burgers.
Yeah, and he's like, best burger I've ever tasted. You know, like, maybe you've ever tasted, but... You're used to eating, what was that thing, that Australian meat pie or whatever?
Hey, it's not bad, but right, let's still, it's...
Let's check this out.
What about the food?
I think it's pretty damn good now, yes. I'd say it's 4 to 5 stars.
4 to 5 stars, so you're 1 star out.
Yes.
Okay, I can't wait to taste it. I've got the background, thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Chef Ramsay will love my burgers without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, let's start off. I'm in California, so let's go for California burger.
California,
please.
Sure.
Thank you.
And how would you like it cooked?
Medium rare, please.
Medium rare?
Thank you.
Okay.
No, definitely cowboy burger.
Okay.
Gotta see the Australian meat pie.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'll have to go for the award-winning burger.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're done. Thank you, my darling.
Good. Thank you.
Good to see you.
You too.
At first, I loved working at Burger Kitchen, but all I'm doing now is fighting with the management.
David, I'll handle this.
Jen, I want you to get out of the way right now. It's a runaway restaurant, and I have no control.
Chef Ramsay, I noticed you ordered the cowboy. That'll take a little longer.
Don't you worry.
It's a 1-pound burger.
Executive chef, David Blaine?
Yes.
What, the magician?
No, he's not the magician.
Right.
He's just coincidentally the same name. Well, he was the head pastry chef at the Peninsula Hotel.
And now he's the executive chef of the burger restaurant.
Yes.
David Copperfield, your dessert chef?
No.
David, he was like, Chef David Blaine, like the magician.
Too bad I can't disappear from here.
This is a California burger.
Wow. Thank you, David.
My house is mid-rare, it's raw.
Bread's just sweet, sweet and doughy. Bland, tasteless, raw meat. No flavour.
Can't people die from eating raw burgers?
How are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. Does anybody see anything? Do the kitchen cook this season?
I know they throw a little bit of salt in.
Well, they're obviously blind because they're missing it. I mean, that is ghastly.
Pinch of salt.
What's wrong with this one? What? Stop. What's wrong with that one?
No seasoning. He doesn't like it.
Well, it's one of the best burgers I've ever tasted in my life. So it's very disappointing. I can't believe that my burger was that bad. That is just shocking. I don't know what to think anymore.
Cowboy. With a very small hat on top. Look at the bun. Where'd you start? Honestly, look at that.
Oh, the goofy music.
I wouldn't have a good time.
Oh,
seriously.
$39. You'd expect a decent bun.
Who would order a burger that big? That would kill you, wouldn't it?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be able to eat it.
But I love Gordon's like, he's like, let me meet the chef. And he goes, oh, you Chef Blaine? He goes, yes, the magician. He goes, you weren't, didn't have any magic tonight? He always works in his little zinger.
Perfectly set up.
Yeah, he's like, and bat... you know,
boom goes dynamite.
Yeah, boom goes dynamite. And then he is like, I want you to go and buy your own meat and make me the best burger you can. And it was so weird how the owner guy, he's like, I'm going to make my own. And it was just a patty.
Yeah, a patty with a piece of cheese on it.
What the hell
and
is that?
Bleeding.
And he's
it
like,
bleeding.
Oh, it's so gross. And then he's like, try it, Gordon. He's like, okay. And he takes a bite and he's looking like he's waiting for him to love it. He goes, absolutely dreadful. He's like, oh, and then
the worst thing ever.
And I was kind of obsessed with the guy's teeth. I couldn't figure out if they were just really large or just really large dentures.
Right.
Like something strange going on there.
And I loved when he tried David Blaine's burger and he said, absolutely delicious. The wife gets all pissed off.
She just storms out.
Dude, I can't take that.
She
man.
Takes a bite of it and coughs like it's
yeah.
disgusting.
Yeah, like, oh, it tastes horrible.
And after Gordon chases her, gives her the, you know, you can't do that, just help us out here. And, you know, everyone has the conspiracy. This person hates me. This person hates me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go back, and the guy finished his burger. He just kept eating it.
Yeah.
It was like, why would you? There's a burger that Gordon Ramsay just said was excellent. Try a piece of it. No, I'm just going to keep eating my burger patty that's bleeding.
Yeah, and what kind of meat is it again, though? What do you call it?
The Wagyu.
Yeah, this Wagyu beef. It's the best you can buy.
But it's pre-frozen. So.
And then when they
have... Oh, is it pre-frozen?
Yeah.
Is it fresh frozen?
Fresh frozen. That does take some of the quality away from it, but...
That's what they say it was.
It did
so
look
it
good.
Was dry.
I just love when they show crowd shots and they're like, it's not very good. And, you know, they're all talking to each other. But the son, he operates the place at night or something in the evenings. And he seemed just as, like, kind of crazy as the mom.
Clueless. Yeah, I think mental illness runs in that family.
And then the chef guy, I don't know, he doesn't know how to deal with people or whatever. He makes it worse. And then he was like, I'm going to come over there and...
Kick your ass.
Yeah, and he's like, where'd you come here? And then what's even more awkward is the guy's not even getting paid, the chef, because yeah. they owe him all this money, right?
They're working on, what was it? The promise they're going to get paid?
Oh, yeah, in good spirit
in good
or something.
Spirit.
He's working in good spirit.
In
and good Gordon's like, what?
Spirits are getting paid.
Yeah, so then the son fires the guy, and he's like, I want my paycheck then. And then they don't have any money to pay him. It's so awkward. I got to play this. It's just so freaking awkward.
It's 90 minutes into a terrible dinner service.
I'm going to jump over the side and say you knocked your ass out if you don't stop.
Oh, you are. Come here right now.
And Chef David is targeting another member of this dysfunctional family.
You want to threaten me? You want to threaten me? Get the out right now. You're done. Get the out of here. Get the out of here. You're done.
Honestly, you shit fire guy.
I probably am in the wrong, but I'm not going to have some crackhead yell at me.
Don't do that right now. Dude, it was a miscommunication on the phone.
I don't care.
Just chill. Let's chill out.
Let Danny handle it.
I've taken so much from so many people, so many, that I just cracked. I cracked.
What's wrong?
Oh, he's in there screaming like a maniac. I told him to scream at me, quit acting like a kid. I jump over there and thump his ass. I don't need him acting like that in there. They've got too much confusion going on. You've got Danny. You've got his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the father.
Yep.
And none of them go to the top floor. The elevator don't go there, brother. I'm sorry, Chef. Did he unbelievable? Yes, he did. He told me I'm fired.
With dinner service completely falling apart, Chef David Blaine returns.
Hi, Chef.
But he hasn't come back to cook.
Hey, Jen, you fired me on a $1,000 paycheck right now. California law states that you pay me before you fire me. Just write my check.
All right.
And I don't want this one to bounce, please.
All right, David, we'll try
not to. I feel like playing handball today with my checks.
David is over here, and he wants his $1,000 check because Danny's fired him.
Why did Danny fire him?
He's saying he wants a $1,000 check. The other ones have bounced. Do we have $1,000 to pay him? You can't talk to him right now.
Take it David, easy. As you know, I don't have $1,000 right today, but I can pay you tomorrow.
I demand my check because I won't come back here. Who knows tomorrow if you're going to even be here?
I'm obviously going to be here. That's obvious, and you know that.
You know what?
And I don't know what happened.
Her. Hopefully you won't be here, man. I'm telling you that. Give me my check, and I'll cash it tomorrow. Post it for tomorrow.
Fine.
You want me to do it, honey?
I'll do it. Write a check for $1,000.
Jen, take $20 out and go buy you a prescription of Prozac.
It's not necessary. Jen, just
no,
write
Prozac,
a check.
No, seriously, no, I need to say this. Please.
What do you
need
to say? What do you need to say?
He's the one that needs this so-called Prozac. I don't even know what it does.
To say that she needs Prozac or anything like that, that's below the belt and it's disgusting and I've lost all respect for it.
Oh,
I'm
now
not on Prozac.
Who cares if you're on Prozac? Yeah. Don't worry about that. Let's take a look.
Okay. All right. Thank you, David.
Ma'am. Again,
David,
focusing
the record,
on the wrong thing.
I'm not on Prozac, dear.
I'm, well, for the record, you should be. Meth heads.
What a joke, honestly.
Meth heads. That guy's convinced everyone's on meth or crack or... What are you people on?
It's some sort of drug, obviously.
I love the younger chef. He's like, why did you do that? Don't fire him. Like, I'm all alone now. That's happened to me before in the frame shop where a guy's gotten fired. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't fire him. I'm all alone. That family's insane. And then I don't think – have they ever done it to be continued before?
No, never. Never.
He needed it for this show. Yeah. Wow.
Stretch it out a little longer.
That place is
Well, there's
nuts.
Just so much insanity.
It just seems like a burger place. How hard would it be to run a place like that?
It's not. I swear to God, it can't be hard.
It can't. It just can't. I don't get
it. I mean, let's say you have like a Fuddruckers or something. You cook the burger, you choose what you want on it, and then you go sit down and eat it.
And then they made the part where they do the tickets was like so confusing.
I had no idea what was going on there.
They had like, he goes, were you playing solitaire?
So you know they're going to get a new ticketing system.
Yeah. I love when Gordon, whenever he does his baffled thing, like, I don't get it. You know, he just throws his hands up. Love it.
Dear.
Oh, damn. Oh, dear. He always says everything three times. That's
he's obsessive compulsive.
That's it. OCD. Gordon's got OCD. He's always got a...
He doesn't say three times, it won't get better.
After the show, I'm gonna watch Kitchen Nightmares and then watch Fringe.
Yeah, I've got to
see what happens to these lunatics.
Me too. I just can't believe they ever get it in operating shape. At the very end, a guy comes in with a Tommy gun.
Oh, this is for your father.
It's like, we found you from this TV show. It's like, damn it.
My teeth.
No, and better yet, it's from Australia. A guy comes in, throws a boomerang. It's like flying around, hitting everybody in the head.
It's a bladed boomerang.
It's wallaby meat.
And he's got a bolo.
It just starts chopping heads off.
I don't know, is that bolo thing, is that Australian or...
If it isn't, it should be.
Yeah, it should. Come on, it's got a string with three balls on
three
it or
balls,
something.
Yeah.
And you throw it and it catches them around the legs. I always thought those were so cool when I was a kid.
Well, they were like, it is cool. Because, you got that counterweight and it just takes them right down.
When you're a kid, you want a bullwhip like Indiana Jones. You want a boomerang and you want a bolo. You don't know what you're going to do with them, but it just is badass. Right?
I had the Nerf boomerang, and my dad had wooden nunchucks from his karate days. So.
Nice. And you know what? Everyone wants to ride on a zip line, somewhere. That's always cool.
I'm going to do that.
One day.
Actually, here in Ohio, in the Hocking Hills, this like wooded foresty area, they have zip line tours.
Nice.
And I'm totally going to do zip line.
That'd be sweet. In the Fucking Hills?
In the Fucking Hills.
All right, let's talk about Fringe, you guys, because Peter's back. We don't have to deal with him being a ghost or a voice in...
And now he's just kind of there.
Nobody knows who he is. I like having him back. I like that. And Walter doesn't know who he is and stuff like that. But also, I keep thinking back to, did they really need to do this with the storyline?
No.
There was an imbalance between worlds, right?
Now there's an imbalance in the show.
Now, well, yeah, and now him existing is causing weird things, anomalies, like the girl brings Olivia the papers, and then she didn't, and she comes back again.
That's Missy two times. She's going to get the papers. Get the papers.
But that kind of stuff, I think, is neat. It's interesting. I like.
But it doesn't save the show.
It's got Ari Gross on there. You got new shapeshifters and stuff.
I guess Walternet is now still looking for Peter.
I don't know.
Because isn't that who was controlling the shapeshifters before?
I thought, but aren't they communicating with them now?
They're using the typewriter.
Well, there at the very end of last season, remember Peter brought the worlds together? There was Walternet there, our Walter, Olivia, faux Olivia.
Shit, you're right.
So what the
I'm
hell?
So confused.
Who are the bad guys now? The one interesting thing I thought that I was like, oh, is that they have no idea who the Observer is now. That was interesting. I thought,
oh, yeah, you're right. They're like, who the hell is the Observers?
Right. But at the same time, I keep thinking, okay, us as viewers, we love Fringe. I'll take any kind of Fringe. I'll take Fringe that's confusing. But I miss having Peter, Olivia, and Walter together in Astrid.
Yeah.
And now they've made it where they've created a new conflict. But does it necessarily, couldn't they have gone somewhere else with the story?
They absolutely could have. I question where they're going and what they're doing with it. I think what they were doing this season is trying to do a sort of reboot for anyone that hadn't watched it.
Extending the storyline or something?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get on board, but at the same time, I'm like, why did they do this again? You know?
Yeah, I'm having a really difficult time.
There's little scenes, you know, when Walter goes to visit Peter and he wants to talk to him, but let me play the scene. Walter's convinced that he doesn't deserve to have Peter in his life.
Was this the second scene?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This I got a little choked up.
Yeah, because John Noble's so good in this role.
Fantastic. Feeding him?
Yeah. Walter, I know how strange this all is. How hard it must be for you. But I don't know what to do. Nobody remembers me here. Olivia looks at me like I'm a stranger, like she's afraid of me. I know what you're capable of. I need your help, Walter, to fix this.
This was my punishment. You were sent to tempt me, to see if I would repeat the mistakes of the past.
You shouldn't be here.
Walter, no.
Wherever you came from, however you got here, doesn't matter. I can't help you.
Walter, you don't understand.
I tried to help a boy. A version of my son 25 years ago. But that boy was never my son. And neither are you.
The only thing I can think is this. Where they're leaning to is maybe there's a third universe that's spun off, right? And that's where Peter needs to get back to. I don't know. I don't know where they're going.
I don't know, but I know in quantum physics, there's many, many universes.
Right. You know? I mean, Peter did something where he made himself not exist, but he existed somewhere, didn't he? Because we had pregnant Olivia and all that storyline.
Yeah.
Are we ever getting back to that? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes my head hurt. I'm not and not in that good head hurt way. Yeah. Like, wow, this is really cool. It's
like,
in the
oh, look at this
okay,
puzzle.
Now I'm just annoyed
to,
way.
I need to figure this puzzle out, you know? Yeah. And by the way, I knew that guy was the shapeshifter the whole time at the end. He's like, oh, my head hurts. Help me. And it's like, I was like, Olivia, shoot him in the head, please.
Like, the other shapeshifter just jumped, and now there's bubbles in the water.
Because,
yeah, okay.
Because Olivia from our show that we've been watching would have shot him, but this one hasn't dealt with shapeshifters enough to know, I guess. Or something.
Something.
I don't know. I want more cool
I think that's pretty much the what's going on is just something. Fringe.
Something's going on.
Something's
Bill.
Going on.
Something. You know what I'm really excited about is Alcatraz.
You know, I've almost completely forgot about it because I haven't seen any advertising for it.
I think it's going to be good, but I have no
idea. Wasn't there another one that's...
First of all, they have Jack Bender of Lost doing the directing, and, you know, it's a J.J. Abrams production, and it's got Sam Neill, it's got Hurley. I think it's going to be good stuff, but I don't know.
Oh, I'll watch it.
I got to see it first, but it looks really interesting.
And I haven't watched Person of Interest in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm still watching it. They did something interesting where they set up a villain, which I think is interesting. Veronica Mars' dad, Enrico Calatoni, you know that
love
guy?
Love that guy.
They did an interesting thing where they introduce his character and you have no idea who he is. And then at the end, they do the boom, this is who he is. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Nice.
And so maybe they can do something with that. I was like, okay, now if you're building a villain, this is good. This is good. They're trying to develop an arc here, you know. So we'll see what else happens there. And they introduced a cool chick character of kind of a badass like Reese's character, Jim Caviezel's character. Now I'm starting to call him by his character's name. That's a good sign.
No, it's Kanan.
Oh, Kanan. But they introduced a chick who's kind of like him, who is kind of a badass. Like a,
cool.
She's a fixer. Which I thought was
cool. Oh. Is that kind of like a cleaner?
Yeah, it's kind of like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, something cool. Like that. So that's going to be pretty...
I'll watch it. I just, you know, stuff gets backed up, and I'm like,
God damn.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I watch it, but I have not been blown away by it.
Yeah.
I have not seen a perfect episode yet.
I would rather just watch Outlander.
And now I want to talk about The Walking Dead, because I look forward to The Walking Dead and I watch it and everything. But I got to tell you, there has not been a perfect episode of this show.
No, there hasn't.
The stuff that I love the zombie stuff. I loved Shane and Pruitt Taylor Vince going to the high school. I loved all that.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That shit was scary. The zombies are so close by. It's hard, you know, you don't know what you're going to do to get away. It was intense. My heart's beating fast. All of the stuff with like Rick and Lori talking about, ugh, should they let their son live? Okay. That kind of conversation might be interesting for after the show for me to discuss with my wife. It's not interesting to see them discuss that. I'm sorry. It's just not. You could maybe subtly hint to it, but you shouldn't have them talk out loud about it. You know what I mean?
You know where they're getting confused? They're falling into that trap of the Walking Dead aren't the zombies.
They're us. Yeah.
Yeah. They're falling into that trap.
Right.
And they're just – and the characters aren't having real conversations.
No.
They're not developing it's caricatures, not characters.
It's okay. I can understand. It would be hard to raise a child in this environment, wouldn't it?
Sure.
But the way that they have the scene play out, it just doesn't work. You want it to cut back to Shane and the zombies, right? Excitement. You know, we have the character. What's the blonde lady who's always whining about her gun?
Is it Andrea?
Andrea, yes. I've been very forgiving of her character, knowing of where she's going to go. Get her there now. Because
she never went through this whiny bitch, give me my gun, I'm going to commit suicide shit in the books.
And
why do it now? It's completely unneeded.
Why can't they have a scene where they go, how have you guys been living here like this? You need to board up these windows. Does someone stand lookout? Do you ever have walkers around here? I don't get it. So wouldn't you ask that question, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've seen
even the scene where Herschel takes Rick up to that ridge and they show him the beautiful CGI ridge.
Yes, very CGI beautiful.
and it's just like, where's the walkers? Why is this place so isolated?
He lives in a great strip of land. Just walkers stay off of it, I guess. The way the grass
grows, walker repellent.
The soil. But okay. There are certain things that crack me up on the show. I love the gross shit whenever something really gross happens.
Yeah.
I love the whole thing with Shane deciding to sacrifice Otis and leaving him there for the zombies. The only thing, the execution of that scene didn't seem harrowing enough to me yet.
No, it didn't.
It was like...
It was sudden. It was just like, oh, okay, bang.
It needed more tension right there before he does it. Like, they're about to get us, we're screwed, and wait, you're screwed, not me. Kind of like that. There needed to be that more, I thought.
That's because they had just separated, and Shane was on his own running through that hospital or school.
And I love the scenes of him. He gets kind of cornered. And the zombies are on one side of the fence, and he's just kind of leaning on it. He knows they can't get to him, and he's pissed. He's like, damn it! He's just getting really mad.
Yeah.
And he knows they can't get to him, so he's just ignoring them, even though they're right behind him. I love that aspect. And he's kind of blasting him with a shotgun, and he's kind of like, I'm screwed. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. And then Otis blasts the one in the head, and he's like, holy shit. And he kind of saves him there. And they still are trying to find their way out of there. I loved all that shit. And I love the great moment where they kind of run and it's a moment of silence where they're just like, okay, how are we going to get out of here? And then all of a sudden the zombies are like, like right against the fence.
Yeah.
That startled the shit out of me. I love that.
And apparently they were lost. They couldn't find the truck again.
Yeah. It was almost like they got turned around where they're behind the school, like near the bleachers, and they weren't sure which way to go. I don't know. I mean, I could understand.
It didn't seem that. I mean, yeah, like you said, maybe it's kind of like you need to work your way or go the long way around whenever you've got zombies chasing you.
Because also I got to think, like, if they got in their car with the zombies right on their tail and drove away, the zombies would keep just walking in that direction, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good to create a
distraction. They had talked about that in the book.
Yeah, so it's a good thing he created a distraction by killing Otis, and also he saved the kid's life by getting the equipment. So it brings up interesting questions. Did he do the right thing? No, it was kind of cold-blooded, but he did what he had to do. And then he did something that people do on TV in order to signify transformation. I don't know why they do this. They did
shave
this on
their head.
They did this on Battlestar Galactica with Starbuck. Do you remember that, Bill?
Yes, they did.
They cut their hair.
What about Aliens 3?
To signify well, that was because of a lice quarantine. But there was a scene that cracked me up where Daryl and Andrea stumble upon a walker who's hanged himself, and he wrote a beautiful poem. I would just want to check the scene out.
What the hell? Got bit, fever hit, world gone to shit, might as well quit. Dumbass didn't know enough to shoot himself in the head.
Beautiful.
Turn himself into a big swinging piece of bait. That mess. You alright?
Try not to puke.
Go ahead if you got it.
No, I'm fine. Let's just talk about something else for a moment. How'd you learn to shoot?
You gotta eat. It's one thing in these walkers and us have in common. This is the closest he's been to food since he turned. Look at him, hanging up there like a big pinata.
Maybe hyperventilating.
The other geeks came and ate all the flesh off his legs.
I thought we were changing the subject.
Call that payback. You're laughing about my itchy ass.
There's a lot that came up.
Step back.
Aren't you getting...
No, he ain't hurt nobody. Don't waste an arrow either. He made his choice. Opted out. Let him hang.
I don't know if I want to live. Or if I have to, or... if it's just a habit.
Well, how profound.
Not much of an answer.
At least we had a cross.
Waste of an arrow.
Yeah, it was a waste of an arrow.
That annoyed me. Because eventually, as the body wastes away on that geek, the head will separate from the neck, and the guy will, you know.
Maybe he can go back and get his arrow later.
Yeah, I just, the Andrea thing, the brooding shit is just so irritating to me.
The thing that's irritating is I like her character in the comic book.
Yeah, she's one of the best characters. You know what, actually, I think she's like the, is the guy's name Daryl?
Yeah.
she's like the Daryl of the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you know, she doesn't cool take shit from anyone.
Right.
She's a good shot.
She's feisty. And
yeah.
You know, I gotta tell you the truth. All of the women on the show are kind of annoying, aren't they?
They are absolutely annoying.
They introduced the Maggie character. She's not annoying yet.
No, but she becomes annoying.
Well, she does in the comic. Maybe she doesn't here. But that's one thing. The comic is not perfect. I'll keep saying that. There's things about it that drive me nuts.
But at this point, I'd rather read the comic.
I just want the logic. No, I'm still enjoying the show. I just don't think it's perfect. When it's over, I'm like, okay, I like parts of this, but this I could do without. I'm enjoying it. I like it. I got to admit, I like it better than the comic. The comic has gotten...
Really?
It's gotten ridiculous for me. I don't enjoy it that much.
The last trade paperback I read was...
I just kind of throw it down.
They had gotten to that, like, subdivision place.
Right, yes.
I know that they're, like, two past that now. I don't know.
Yeah, I've gotten to where they arrive at that subdivision and all that, and I thought there's that whole storyline with the cannibals that was just so bad and ridiculous. Just unbelievably bad. And then when they get revenge on them, immediately, what have we done? Which I laughed at. I was like, give me a break. It's so bad. It's so horribly written.
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman is not a good writer. I don't know why people think he is. He created this cool zombie property. I'll agree with that. I don't think he's a good writer.
The George Lucas of comic books.
Of zombies. You know?
He's like, he created a property which started out promising.
Right.
And then the more popular it became, the more he's, tried to satisfy the masses.
The characters, you got to think of a story like this. It's about surviving the zombie apocalypse. What do you do with them? What he's doing with them, I don't think is that interesting. They wander from place to place. People die. They meet new people. Those people die. People do stupid shit.
And he's not talented enough to create a human story.
Right. There needs to be a human story here. The people that are interesting on the show are the ones they haven't given enough screen time to.
Yeah.
Because when they, like, the whole Herschel character, we know that he's talked a little bit about things. And you notice they showed Maggie. There's the sewer geek in this one. That whole thing, when T-Dog, he smashes his head in. She looks disgusted. Like, I can't believe he just did that. So we already know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
That it's happened in the comic. And that's that Herschel doesn't believe in killing them.
He's collecting them.
He's not doing away with them. He thinks there's going to be a cure or something. The guy, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's insane.
We did get that moment, though, that you talked about in the last show where it's like, oh, don't go near that barn.
Yeah, he's like, no, stay away from there. And it's like, oh, so we're going to get that. Yeah. Now, I did enjoy the scene because it was so ridiculous that it was funny that there's a zombie in the well, right?
Yeah, we got us a swimmer.
Yeah, how do we get that out of there? And their idea is horrible. Horrible idea.
Yeah, just...
And why couldn't they have lowered a lasso and just hooked it around his head or
exactly.
something?
Exactly. If they're on a farm and that girl's such a cowgirl...
Yeah, and then, you know, is Andrew, he's like, well, let's shoot in the head. And Andrew's like, that's stupid. And it's like, no, it's not. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Give
the
me
water's
my gun,
already
I'll
contaminated
shoot.
With it being in there.
Yeah, okay, that's another thing. We don't know if it's contaminated. Let's get it out of there. It's like, let me tell you something. I will never drink that water for as long as I live.
There's zombie
if that,
pee
if
in
that
there.
Zombie has an orifice.
Yeah.
And it's in that water and it's bloated.
I don't even care if you boil it. Stick it through 20 different filters. You have the people from the colony working on it. I'm not ever touching that water.
Charcoal, sand.
Yeah, I am not ever drinking that water. They already said, "What if we have four wells on our property. Bar it up. Who cares?
Yeah.
Leave it in there. I don't give a shit, you know? At first, when they showed the well was open, I was like, the girl fell in there, you know?
Sophia!
But let's check this out. I love when they pull the zombie up. You know, first Glenn, he almost falls in.
I saw it going to happen.
And then the bottom part of the torso falls off, all of the entrails, the guts, everything. I thought that was hilarious. I was just laughing.
So gross.
How long do you think it's been down there?
Long enough to grow gills. We can't leave it in there. God knows what it's doing in the water.
I don't gotta get it out. Easy. put a bullet
in
the
zombies on the show make a lot of noise.
Whoa, guys.
Very
vocal. No.
Why not? It's a good plan.
It's a stupid plan. If that thing hasn't contaminated the water yet, blowing its brains out will finish the job.
Yeah, she's right.
Oh, shut up,
she has to come out alive.
Let's throw her ass in there.
So to speak. How do we do that?
Let's lower the Asian man down there.
He's not going for
it. What was he
going
to do when he got down there?
Because no kick and scream Pocket. When you try to eat it.
Here, take this rope. Put it around
right.
yourself.
There's a reason the dead didn't come back to life and start raiding our cupboards. We need live bait.
Although that would have been better, though. Yeah, they held that canned ham in front of it. I think these people are delirious from what they've been doing, and they're all just stupid now. They're all tired.
Don't worry about it, bud. Hey, we're going to get you out of here in one piece.
We all need a long rest.
The living part is important.
Nice and slow, please.
We got you. Oh, you people are crazy.
You want to get it out of your well or not?
Give us an eye there, Maggie.
Like, no,
doing
I don't
okay?
want it on my well.
Yeah,
fine.
Doing great.
Living
the
dream.
Shut up, zombie.
I would have been like, hey, grab this rope. And he would have probably done it. They need a pet zombie who's friendly on the show.
They need an Ed.
They do.
Hit Nick Frost.
I loved how bloated this thing was. It was so
back to the
disgusting.
Drawing board.
Yeah.
Says you.
Come on, y'all together.
All set. Come on, pull.
Keep it calm. Come on, pull. Watch out, dog. That's me. Just a little more.
Come on. Get that thing an inhaler.
You gotta pull it, dog.
Nebulizer.
It's stuck. Come on.
I was just like, oh,
should
yeah.
Seal off this well.
Yeah. It might be a good idea.
So what do we do about it?
Hey!
You know, I thought a better scene would have been like, instead of him banging his head in, just one kick to the head and it flies back in.
Good thing we didn't do anything stupid like shoot it.
Andrea... Stuff like that I like. It's just over-the-top ridiculous. And I wanted someone to walk up there and go, what are you people doing? And them all just kind of be like, God, I really need to take a rest. I've just
people
been
were so stupid.
And, Rick is like, I need to go out looking for Sophia. And he's like, you've given 20 pints of blood. You could die any minute. And he goes, I still want to anyway. Just shut up. Don't have him do that. But.
Can we just find Sophia already and move on,
have
please?
Yes, please find the little girl. But I like that Daryl, his thing is, I want to be alone.
Yeah.
He wants to be away from these people. And here's all I want in a zombie show or a Terra Nova. Suggest to Herschel, have you ever thought about boarding up your windows? Should we keep a lookout? How high are your fences? How are you keeping
Where
them
the hell
out
is
here?
His generator?
Have you encountered anyone? Where are you getting power from? We know you have wells, okay. Yeah,
are they doing gas runs for a generator? You would think the generator would be loud.
It's not really minutia. A character would ask that, wouldn't they?
Right.
I mean, I remember parts of Lost would drive me nuts how no one would follow up on answers, but just have a throwaway question like, there's a part where they send Maggie off and she brings Glenn with her to go to the pharmacy or whatever.
Right.
Why not take everything and bring it back and just have it at home?
There wasn't that much in there.
Why make runs?
Yeah, Mike, why make runs? And the worst storyline in the comic is that Lori is pregnant. They should not have brought that in the show.
No, God. I don't think they should. Or at least waited.
Yeah.
Wait till you get till they got to the prison or
it's
whatever.
It's not interesting, I don't think, having a pregnant woman in the zombie apocalypse. And, frankly, I don't want kids in danger either. The whole girl running away, have her. It looks like Daryl found her, didn't it, in that house that she'd been sleeping in?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And did you see Scenes to Next Week, Bill?
Yeah, I did.
And they showed Merle, Michael Rooker.
Yeah. He showed up, yeah.
But I started thinking about it. He's not going to be there. That is one of my TV things.
An apparition.
He's an apparition. He is going to be a memory of Daryl or something, and they're tricking us in the previews. I know that's what they do on these shows, so he's not turning up. And a lot of people are going to go, dude. And I don't even know why his character would be alive.
I wasn't that impressed with his character in the first season.
Why would he be alive anyway?
Yeah.
He chopped his hand off.
That would be one hell of an explanation to say, okay, he got out of the cuffs, did he saw his hand off?
If any of that, yeah, he did. But if any of that happened, how could he ever find them again?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just not going to happen.
They've already been to the CDC, and now they're moving on somewhere else. Was he following them like Gollum? In the Fellowship of the Ring?
Rick did leave a note. He goes, if you find this to the black guy, we're at the CDC. But at the CDC, they left no trail because the place blew up and they left. There's no way the track with their footprints or whatever. Can you track
them? They need
to
have a better outline board at the writer's room.
Right. They spent way too much time looking for the girl. And this poor mother, who's just like...
And we know what happens to her.
I don't remember what happens to her, but
don't you remember she goes kind of crazy and then wants to start menage a trois relationship with Lori and Rick?
Which that's cool, man. We need more of that on TV. But I thought it was cool. I kind of rolled my eyes at this is called a Cherokee Rose. I mean, he tried to sell it. Daryl, the actor,
he did a really good job trying to sell it.
But at the same time, it's just like. Just find the daughter.
Yeah.
Find the daughter and stop talking about
stop
roses.
Dragging it out.
You're dragging out two episodes. One episode and a half. You should have found her during.
Yeah. And I'm glad. And the son needs to be back on his feet walking around the next episode and not be hurt anymore.
Yeah, that kid is.
He does what he needs to do. I mean, I've seen worse kid actors, but Kids in Jeopardy, I don't think it's that great. It's not entertaining.
No.
Oh, but it's a zombie apocalypse, Jason, this kind of thing. Oh, no, it doesn't need to happen. Give me a break. But they do need to bring John Leguizamo on the show, though, Bill. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, and they could always get Dennis Hopper as a zombie.
They need to get Tom Savini with the machete or the saber. You know what I was thinking about this, about Romero zombies? They were afraid of fire. Do you guys remember that? Like, if you hold a torch, they're like, mom, they're like a bunch of Frankensteins. I was thinking Shane and Otis could have had torches, like, trying to keep them back or something.
Yeah, the one that always just freaks me out. Fireworks. You know, every time I watch it is what's his name, riding the motorcycle out front. It's just like,
Daryl,
no. You're on a motorcycle. Stop it.
Get in the car. I would have been.
Because it's loud.
But also, it's louder than shit.
Right. Yeah.
It's loud. Maybe like having a little scooter.
Do you really need a freaking chopper? I understand it gets very good mileage.
Yeah.
But still.
Do you have the feeling, but about his character, I have the feeling that everyone there following is like, that thing's a horrible idea, but I'm not going to tell the guy. It's something like that. Like, he can do whatever he wants.
He's my favorite character right now because he's the only one with any freaking sense.
I do like him.
He's a survivor. He's going to die soon.
He's a survivor. Do you think he'll die soon? I don't know.
I just don't trust the show.
right. And that's another thing that I was talking about, characters living or dying or whatever. You know, Robert Kirkman, I've talked about this before. He likes to say that no one is safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to make us care that they are safe or not in the first place. It's not about, like, you can kill anybody off at any time. That's not...
I don't care about a single person on the show right now.
I care about Daryl and the fact that when he's gone, I'll lose interest.
That I agree with.
When Shane killed Otis and all that, that made him infinitely more interesting than Rick, I thought. It shows that
because he actually made a decision.
He made a decision. Right. It wasn't about all being good and stuff. The whole Rick putting his badges in the drawer. Rick put his badges in the drawer.
But the thing with Shane is, this is a guy who, when Rick was still in the hospital, decided to just go, oh, well, forget about Rick. I'm going to shack up with his wife.
Right.
Well, why is he so tortured over killing someone when he's obviously already morally ambiguous?
Right. I love that in that last season, what it showed was he went there and tried to get Rick out of there. The place is being overrun.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right. That's
the
right.
power went out. He wouldn't wake up.
Why wasn't he tortured over that?
He was completely frustrated, didn't know what to do. The only thing he could think is to do was block the door off, and he left. And he told Lori, who he knew would have gone back to the hospital to try to get him out and most likely being killed, that he was dead. Does that make him an asshole? Maybe, but he was also saving her life. Also, he's always been in love with her probably his whole life, or since he's known
small town.
So Rick's dead. He's there caring for her. Everything is super hyper tension because the dead are coming to life. I don't hold that much against the guy, honestly.
No.
He's done what he's... The only thing that was kind of like, okay, that's a little over the line, is when he kind of forced himself on her at the CDC. It was kind of creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy.
He has reasons to be upset. I still don't understand the having sex out in the open in the woods when zombies are around. Just doesn't happen. Sorry, just can't get in the mood. Apparently he can. I think it's this. He is already living... Rick, he's living in the past, like rules and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shane knows that...
Shane's become feral.
Well, he's a survivalist.
He's
you
on
do,
the verge of peril.
You know, when he was there with Otis and they were walking away and he goes, just leave me here, Otis. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, he's thinking in his head, well, I would do it to you. And he's like, wait a second. I'm not going to die. Screw this guy. I don't even know this fat guy. He shot Carl. Okay, I'm going to justify it. Bam, shoots him. And then I love that he didn't just instantly get away from him. They kind of wrestle around. He's hitting him and stuff. And that scene where Otis gets ripped apart and stuff, I thought that was pretty brutal for cable TV, wasn't it?
Right. Oh, it totally was.
And I felt really bad for the guy. He seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
Well, I hope they ate him all.
Yeah.
Because I would hate for him to show up later as a zombie.
He's like, hey, Shane. He's like, holy shit. Wait a second. He's kind of like Big Daddy in Land of the Dead. He kind of remembers shit.
Oh, no. No, no. Or Bub in Day of the Dead.
Bub. Oh, that drives me nuts. There's
Where's
so much,
my doctor?
It's so funny. I think the whole zombie genre is so flawed.
Yeah, it is.
It really is because, we could talk about it forever. But
We could. And I was even going to say, like, one way to make the characters more interesting and actually make them characters we care about is kind of do a flashback, like pre-zombie time.
When it first started?
Yeah.
You know
and
what?
Then to now.
Honestly, like, Bill, what I'd be... When they showed Daryl kind of scavenging about by himself, that was infinitely more interesting than showing people talking. You know, when he found the guy hanging on the noose, I would have been entertained by him going through his stuff and finding some supplies or something.
Yeah, and kind of discovering who this guy was.
Yeah, and finding maybe some shotgun shells or some six-pack of beer, and he climbs up in a tree and drinks it and kind of looks around and it's all quiet.
About the journey and not about the bitchy people.
We don't need, like, I don't know if this is morally right. It's like, shut up.
It's the end of the world. There are no morals anymore.
Should we take this car? It belonged to someone once. Isn't this stealing? No! Shut up! I just can't wait till they arrive at the arena where someone has made themselves a makeshift casino, Bill, and they have fighting zombies in a pit. Oh, I can't wait.
Awesome.
It's going to be Michael Rooker, and he's going to have like a claw on his hand where his hand used to be a hook. And he's going to go, ladies and gentlemen!
Welcome to Thunderdome!
Yeah, Zombie Dome! You know, it's like...
Two men enter!
Daryl's
going to
be like, no,
leave.
Brother, I've learned to get to know these people. They're not too bad. Even the black guy's kind of cool. And he's like, but I'm racist!
You know what I was thinking? Daryl's kind of the Michonne. Or Michonne. How was it?
Yeah,
I don't even know how her name is
Michonne.
Really pronounced.
You said it. Michonne.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like her from the comics.
Mm-hmm. Someone
kind of the loner, is better on his own, doesn't really want to connect with anybody.
They've made Rick so uninteresting on the show.
They really have.
I think Shane is more interesting in...
Kill Rick.
Yeah, kill Rick.
Keep Shane.
Yeah. Keep him around. He's more interesting. He's a psycho that could kill anybody at any time, and that's interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, let's talk about the news. What do you say?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do the news! Woo-hoo! Yeehaw! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Ah, yes, good times. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, in the, I'm sorry, I had a little burp there. Homeless man accused of slashing tires on hundreds of cars in the Hyde Park, Texas neighborhood was found guilty by a jury on Wednesday. Travis County jury convicted Tommy Joe Kelly on one count of unlawful use of a criminal instrument and sentenced him to 10 years in jail.
Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry.
Austin police say neighbors saw Kelly near the slashed cars before and after the crimes, but never actually saw him do it. When asked about it on the stand, Kelly said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth on this one. It doesn't sound right, but it is. I've had hemorrhoids at the time.
What?
Super duper bad." Oh.
I don't know what to think anymore.
See where this is going.
Prosecution attorney said, "You stab someone's tires in Hyde Park. You don't know who they are, but you pick this person out because you need relief from your hemorrhoids."
That is just shocking.
True, Kelly replied.
Yeah, you've got the story right. Yes, you're following crystal clear.
Kelly chose to represent himself during the trial. He used the hemorrhoid defense.
I'm a fan with his peers.
Oh, boy. Every time I hear the word slasher, I can't help but think of Hot Fuzz when Timothy Dalton's jogging. He goes, "I'm a slasher." And he's like, Simon Pegg's like, "What?" And he goes, "A slasher of prices. Like, yeah. Can't be stopped." Oh, all right, moving on. Now, this is genius. In the UK, police have arrested 19 suspects after fooling them into ringing officers by promising free beer if they get in touch.
"I'm going to kill the other 5 people to get that jacket."
Whoa. In an undercover operation, Derbyshire police sent letters to a dozen of people who had evaded arrest for several months. They were asking to ring a telemarketing company to collect a free crate of beer. A total of 19 suspects fell for the hoax, called the number, which put them straight through to the Chesterfield police station. The time and date was arranged for the free alcohol to be delivered, but instead the suspects were arrested. Bummer.
Nothing a few beers can't fix, right?
Yeah, not this time. I would think that's entrapment. I don't know.
I know.
I guess it works over there.
I guess this is how we lure idiots.
It would certainly work here, but I don't think it's legal here. Again, in the UK, a mother of 4 who admitted to biting her boyfriend's testicles during a drunken fight...
Holy shit.
...has been given a suspended jail term. Yeah, ow! Oh, Maria Top 44 from Gateshead attacked Martin Douglas at his Newcastle apartment in February. The 45-year-old DJ needed 19 stitches on a wound to his scrotum.
Probably a chupacabra bite.
Oh, man, this woman is evil.
Holy crap.
It's
not nice.
Court handed the woman a 12-month sentence, suspended for 18 months. Has ordered her to carry out 150 hours of unpaid work and imposed a restraining order preventing her from possibly biting Mr. Douglas's testicles again.
Please, stop breaking my, you know what?
Yeah. The judge says, "The relationship is over. I think both of you accept that." Yeah, I think I would.
Does your testicles hurt?
Mr. Douglas has since... Ooh, oh, oh! Oh, no. Police were called and found Mr. Douglas with a wound to his scrotum, which had his left testicle exposed. Ow! Oh! Ooh. He has since made a full recovery, thank God. Wow.
One of my testicles has enlarged.
I mean, oh, man, that's... Wow.
How do we have so many testicle drops?
Washington, the government on Thursday warned about a growing problem of powerful ball-bearing magnets.
Only if I can rub your testicles.
Such as... Wait, there's got to be one from the Nick Frost show Hyperspace with the aliens, how they greet people. They rub their testicles against their heads. That's always my favorite episode. The magnets such as those used in desktop toys for adults and risk they can pose to children. Oh, okay. So those balls, they're like, do you get them in a block?
Uh-huh. Earth magnets, and
yeah.
There's magnet bugs and Zorny.
A commission has received 14 reports of problems with the magnets, up from 7 reports last year. Children involved ranged in 18 months to 15 years old. Well, don't swallow the freaking magnets, you morons!
Hell no.
The CPSC says that when 2 or more of these tiny magnets are swallowed, they can attract one another and lead to serious injuries such as small holes in the intestines or stomach.
Those magnets that come like on letters to go in a refrigerator kind of thing?
They're called buckyballs. They're like a,
It looks like a BB, a little larger than a BB, twice the size of a BB.
And they link together like a necklace?
You can make them like a...
You can make them into anything.
They come like a little square.
And kids are eating them, and then they stick together in their bodies.
Yeah.
That's effed up, yo.
I don't think you should have these if you have children. What kills me, though, is up to 15 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, 18 months...
You should know better. Like, even if you have a kid who's 10 and one that's 5, you should know better.
Yeah. That's just dumb. All right, moving on. We have in Carson City, Nevada, Western Nevada's college student Karen Royce has filed a harassment claim against the school, alleging a professor there required students to divulge personal details of their sex lives and assigned them to masturbate.
Simple assault and harassment.
Okay.
It's so inappropriate, Royce said. This is why I'm pursuing it. This needs to change. A college representative says, however, the assignments were typical for a class of that nature, and students were warned of sensitive material from the outset.
I'm masturbating a minute. Am I loud?
It's a human sexuality class.
Oh.
And this woman's 60 years old, a medical technician, working towards a degree in social work. And basically, she's uptight.
Just sits in the corner wearing a sweater vest and masturbating.
It says the class covers topics such as gender, sexual anatomy, sexual transmitted diseases, commercial sex, among others.
So she's going to be uptight. She's in the wrong class.
Yeah. You blew it! Royce said the course began with a discussion of different sexual positions. She said the instructor went on to assign students to double their normal masturbation routine over the course of 2 weeks and write journals about their experiences. I mean, yeah, it sounds a little creepy, but it's a human sexuality class. There's obviously some sort of reason behind it.
Yeah. She's going to fail that class.
She said, I joked, but I was serious and said, I don't masturbate. So 0 times 0 is 0.
What a liar.
Yeah.
I'm going to get medieval on you.
Ah, what does that mean?
Oh, he sounds kinky.
That's so incredibly petty and lame.
All right, in Ontario, which is, I believe, in Canada, a battle is brewing in a neighborhood over candy or the lack of it on Halloween night. A man who lives in the city east of Toronto says a letter left in his mailbox the day after Halloween took him to task for failing to shell out. Tom Abitson, 26, who wasn't even home on Halloween night, says the letter signed by Children of the Hood left him feeling pretty upset and angry.
Uh-oh. We can do, like, cotton candy clouds or something on the top.
Ooh.
So they're the kids of, oh my, it's like Children of the Corn or after.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
The letter complains that previous resident made candy apples for neighboring trick-or-treaters, but this year there was sweet nothing. It suggests he rectify this for the next year.
We're talking about innocent children.
By giving out chocolate bars and warns that unpackaged apples or chips aren't welcome.
Oh, he should have at least given them raisins.
He wasn't home. How did he give them anything?
Leave him a bowl of raisins.
Just leave it out on the porch.
That bowl would have been gone. You know, one year, Heather and I, we left out a big bowl of candy because we couldn't be there. You know, we want to give to the block or whatever. Bowl was gone when we got home.
The entire bowl?
Little shits. Yeah, they just took the bowl.
Oh, Jesus. I thought maybe they dumped the candy and left the bowl, but they took the bowl?
They took our bowl. And it was a cool, like Halloween time bowl. You know, it's like
probably some asshole parent.
They're like, hey,
this is a nice bowl.
Hey, nice. Nice Corning.
It's funny. He posted his own letter on the classified website Kijiji, asking its author to come forward, and says, "Dear children of entitlement and likely their parents, you have gone ahead and reminded me why I do not want children and why I weep for the future."
Nah. He's got a point.
He goes on to explain he was not home on Halloween and therefore was not available to hand out candy. At first, I didn't know how to feel, and am I wrong for not handing out candy to the children in the community, or am I right for just living my life and doing what I do? Ugh,
yeah, those people need to get over it.
What a threat. You need to rectify this.
Says you.
Hell, I'd turn my lights out. When I lived in an apartment complex in Columbus, I would turn my lights out. I didn't want no freaking kids begging me for candy.
Yeah, that's the known thing. That's like the unwritten rule. When you go block to block or whatever, if there's a house with no porch light on or no driveway light or anything, you don't go there.
Don't go up. Yeah, they're not serving.
Yeah, we even know that. Even we've taught Emma that. Oh, their lights are off. We're not going there. And by the way, like one of the houses we went to, the guy had a chainsaw and a mask, and he thought it would be funny to scare kids or whatever.
Not funny.
So I was like, Emma, you're not going over here. I'll go. So
yeah.
I like took her bucket, and I walked up to the chainsaw guy, and I was like, where do I get the candy? He goes, oh, right over there. He just talked to me normal. And,
yeah.
And I went into the garage, and there was this guy
behind the bucket
hiding. There's a guy hiding. To where he goes, bah, when you go to get the things. And I just kind of turned and looked at him like,
dude,
you're an asshole. You know, if my daughter is like 7 years old, you would have scared the shit out of her. What a dick.
It would have ruined her night.
And none of them go to the top floor. The elevator don't go there, brother.
I remember one year when I first lived in Columbus, I was all excited because I thought, hey, this is a pretty good community. There's some kids here. So I actually went out and I bought those packs like where they have like tons of candy in them. Like I bought a Wonka candy thing, so it was like Runts and Gobstoppers and bottle caps and all that. And then I bought the candy bars and stuff. And I actually made probably like 50 or 60 Ziploc bags with various candies in them just to give out to each kid. And no one came that year. And I ended up eating all that candy. And after that, I was like, screw it. I'm just not even going to bother because it's not worth the time or the calories.
Yeah.
All right. So this is sad news. Sad news. Bill Keane, creator of Family Circus, has passed away.
Oh.
Died Tuesday at the age of 89. His longtime home in Paradise Valley near Phoenix. His comic strip featured in nearly 1,500 newspapers across the country, and I remember reading it from childhood until I stopped reading comics. And there were always those kind of goofy comics.
That's when this country started falling apart, when they took away Saturday morning cartoons.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't know if it has anything to do with this.
It's not a cartoon. It's in a comic page. page.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a special kind of humor.
What
the
was little
family
kid,
circus,
Jeffy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffy's
my favorite
so
family
cute.
Circus ones were whenever one of the kids would have to go do something, and you could track his path.
Yeah.
Go all over the town.
That was funny. Yeah.
Before it got to where he was supposed to be. Those were my favorite ones.
Was this guy genuinely happy? I always get bummed out when you see like a cartoonist was
he was.
From
he had a
depression or something.
He had a large caring family and he had his faith and his comic and he did it until he passed away. He loved doing it.
But everybody's got to put their nose in our business.
And I'll tell you what, I've watched specials on Charles Schulz, and holy crap,
yeah,
what a depressing family.
He was miserable, wasn't he?
He was one miserable son of a bitch. All right, moving on, I'm just going to mention this because I thought it was funny. Career Builders blog put together some of the craziest excuses that people give whenever they want to get out of work, and there's 15 of them. Number 15, his employee was a bowling alley and a bucket filled with water crashed through the ceiling and hit her on the head.
You blew it!
Yes. Employee drank antifreeze by mistake and had to go to the hospital.
Oh, shit.
I don't know how that happens. Employee's brother-in-law was kidnapped by a drug cartel while in Mexico.
Jason is rushed to the hospital.
Employee had a headache after going to too many garage sales.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's... No, that don't work. The employee got his toe caught in a vent cover. Why does that prevent him from going to work?
Is there a doctor in the house?
An employee hurt his back chasing a beaver. Okay. Employee's child stuck a mint up his nose and had to go to the ER to remove it. Well, that's
Bomb
okay.
Dropping on Beaver Cleaverville.
Oh, no. That was a firefight! Employee got cold from a puppy.
That was a firefight!
Oh, that movie. God damn. Employee fell out of bed and broke his nose.
Oh.
Employee ate too much at a party. Employee said a deer bit him during hunting season. Was it a zombie deer?
Hey, hit the nose.
Yes. Employee was in line at a coffee shop when a truck carrying flour backed up and dumped the flour into her convertible. Holy shit, that's detailed.
That is.
Employee said a refrigerator fell on him. Employee said bats got in her hair.
What?
Honestly, there are bats in my hair. I can't come to work. Employee's 12-year-old daughter stole his car. He had no other way to work. Employees didn't want to report it to the police.
Oh, okay.
Where did she take the car? And did she have it all day? He couldn't go into work later? All right, and finally, this is big. This is huge. An analysis or analysts say stores are gearing up for one hell of a dogfight in the TV aisles this Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Television aisles of top U.S. retailers are poised for a hard-fought contest as chains take little chances with budget-conscious shoppers. Unlike last year when some such as Best Buy held the line on discounts and promoted only high-end TVs.
Dog.
Many retailers told Reuters this past week that they plan to do whatever it takes to get the customer through the door.
This if you're waiting to buy an HD TV, this is the time to do it. Right?
Yeah. I would say so. Oh no, watch out. For the consumer, expect to see price cuts of up to 40% from a year ago on big screen TVs, free shipping deals, 36 months financing in the run-up to Black Friday on the 25th.
I don't watch TV.
So it's there really. This is exciting because I really want to get a new TV. I'm just right now it's the fight between The 64-inch Samsung and the 65-inch Panasonic VT30.
There's Magnet Bucks and Sorny.
Sorny. And the focus is on bigger screens.
People, I know a genuine Panasonic when I see it.
People said they want 60-inch and above.
Yeah.
They are reducing inventory of 32 to 40-inch TVs.
Yeah, screw that 42-inch crap.
Yeah. Today's TVs has so many capabilities. People are concentrating on 3D. They want their 3D 60-inch TVs.
Yeah, 3D.
They're saying 55-inch is the new 42-inch.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
Yep, so now I just want some TV companies to actually create TVs that don't have freaking crazy-ass bugs like Panasonic and their diminishing black levels. And
haven't their new ones fixed that yet?
No, apparently not on AVS forum. Those guys are always finding problems.
Those guys are all insane, though.
If you want a TV, don't go to AVS forum.
Yeah.
Because they'll talk you
out
of it.
They'll make you paranoid, like, really paranoid.
Yeah. All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
DVDs? I haven't done them yet.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. And new edit. Cut. Thank you for doing the news this week, Bill. It's awesome.
Welcome. Only Zell heard that anyways. Hi, Zell.
Hey, Zell. What's up?
Zell's the only one in the chat room.
That looks like a nasty bite, Zell.
Probably a chupacabra bite.
Yep.
You better get that looked at. I hope it's not his testicles.
Yikes. All right, Bill. How about we do some DVD videos?
Oh, DVD videos. Excellent. Let's do them.
They're round, and they have holes in them. And
they're shiny.
Yeah, 480p. Nothing better than 480p.
You can't get better than that.
Never improve on it. All right, let's do it. DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray Standard Definition! DVD!
Woo! Whoa. He sounds like Voldemort.
The boy who lived.
The boy wizard must die.
Got bit. Fever hit. World gone to shit. Might as well quit.
I want that like on a placemat in front of the door. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Bless this house.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs. Starting off with Assassin's Creed Lineage.
Ooh, isn't that a game? That's a game.
It is. This has to be like a cartoon prequel or some shit.
Did you ever play that game? Is it any good?
I did. I played Assassin's Creed 1 and 2. Didn't get all the way through Brotherhood because it started getting boring. It's just repetition and same shit over and over again, but I enjoyed the hell out of the first two.
So it looks pretty epic, so maybe one day I'll play it.
Yeah, I mean it's fun to kind of climb all over the place, do your little
you have like different
parkour
and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like do you have ninja stars?
You do. Well, you have knives, throwing knives.
Ooh, ninja star to the head. Ow!
No, ninja knife to the head.
It's always fun to like be going along the rooftops and have to take out a scout or something and throw a ninja knife at them. And
knives and stabbing weapons.
Yep. And then you've got these knives that can like retract in and out of your wrists. So you can...
Oh, cool.
I use those most of the time.
Nice.
Where you can like jump off of something and just execute someone right away or...
So you're an assassin. Do you ever, like, think, should I kill this person? It would be bad while you're playing it?
No.
Moral kind of
Well, that's what it is. It's kind of – it's this crazy morally ambiguous, are you being taken advantage of? Are you the one that's – are you following the right path or are these other people right?
You know what drove me nuts about Red Dead Redemption is how used your character is?
Yeah.
Throughout the whole game, and it just drove me nuts. You're being used!
Yeah, he is. That's from the beginning of it. Is he's being used with his family, and then
everyone takes advantage of him, and you just do it. You have to complete the game, so you get taken advantage of. It drove me nuts.
And then you just get killed for it.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah. All right, moving on. This next film I actually have wanted to see for a while, called Beginners. It's Ewan McGregor and his name, Christopher Plummer. And it's father and son, and kind of told in two different ways, where the father – how do I explain this?
What are they beginning?
They're kind of beginning their own parts in life.
Let's begin, shall we?
Yeah, it's
– Shall we?
The Amazing Larry isn't paying attention. So Ewan McGregor is a – graphic designer who meets a girl that he really likes shortly after his father passes away.
This is something you can share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry!
He realizes just how much of a beginner he is when it comes to long-lasting romantic love. And it turns out his father was living in the closet until age 75 and then decided to become... be free and be himself and start a new gay life. As in happy, I guess.
You're the man now, dog.
But I've wanted to see it for a while. The trailers always looked really interesting, and I like Christopher Plummer. He's a cool dude.
Yes, he is. And he's, you know, fix your pipes.
He will fix your pipes. And at cost. You know, he won't charge more than needs to be charged.
That's right.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is Being Human, the complete first season. This is the American remake of it.
You know what? All I know is this. Heather's mom loves BBC America, loved British Being Human.
Yeah.
Hated the American version.
I can understand that. I can understand that. I wasn't a real big fan of the show itself, the BBC version, but I can see its appeal to some people. But yeah. I'm just entirely pass on the American version.
It sounds interesting. I mean, I know that Starkiller is in it.
Yes, he is. He's the vampire, I believe.
Yes, Gary.
It's three people. It's a vampire, a werewolf, and a girl who's a ghost.
And they walk into a bar.
Yep. I don't know what the punchline is, but...
Neither do I. A sci-fi network.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is a film I've wanted to see for a while again, called Bellflower.
Bellflower?
Yes, and again, has to do with apocalypse.
Oh.
best friends Woodrow and Aiden spend all their time, free time, building Mad Max-inspired flamethrowers and muscle cars.
Cool.
In preparation for a global apocalypse.
I'm a soldier of the apocalypse.
But when Woodrow meets a charismatic young woman named Millie and falls hard in love, he and Aiden quickly join a group of friends setting off on a journey of love and hate, betrayal, infidelity, and extreme violence.
Yeah. Wait a second. Do they get in some kind of death race?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those movies I remember hearing that you're not entirely sure if it's real or... that these guys are like mentally ill kind of thing.
It sounds really interesting.
There was one review that said it was like a mix of John Hughes and Mad Max. And I was like, okay. Oh no!
No. This is too long. Turn it off.
First there was the collapse of civilization.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anarchy. Okay. Genocide.
Okay, check.
Starvation.
It happens.
Then when it seemed things couldn't get any worse, we got the plague.
Oh.
The living death.
Ooh,
wow. Quickly closing its fist over the entire planet.
Wow.
That's terrible.
And then we heard the rumors.
Huh?
That the last scientist were working on a cure that would end the plague and restore the world.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
Good news.
Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery.
Okay, calm
down. I like this world!
That guy's a huge fan of the apocalypse.
He is.
I love the
almost as much as I am.
Why? I love the way he says that.
Why?
I'll say it again. The best movie ever because it begins with a narration by the villain.
Yes.
The bad guy. And it's probably the most talking he does in the whole movie.
Why? It was such a horrible movie. It
really was.
Right, moving on. We have... Evil Dead 2 25th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
You know what? I have so many versions of Evil Dead 2 on DVD and Evil Dead. I have those book versions with, like, the rubber books.
Hey,
I have...
I
love that.
So great.
Swallow this.
But I guess I'll have to get this now. Or I'll watch out for a review. I'll look at DVD Beaver and see if there's any reviews for it.
I don't know if there's another movie that makes me giddy laugh more than Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, I would almost have... I would have to agree. Yeah, not almost. I would have to
Evil Dead 2 when he's like, let's go! And then all of a sudden she starts... It sounds like a chimpanzee, like... You know, while he's like got the chainsaw and everything, and the chick's like, hush, little baby, and it distracts her. It's so silly.
It's so ridiculous.
I love it.
I wish Sam Raimi... Well, you know what? Drag Me to Hell was pretty ridiculous, so there was some pretty good spot, the parts in that one.
Everyone keeps talking about a new Evil Dead. I'm just not that excited about it.
Why?
I don't know.
What's with this, you know, I'm not going to go all Hollywood Saloon, but what's with the remake shit?
I don't know, man.
It's just getting to be a little much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't believe they remade Footloose. Oh.
That was a remake that needed to be made, Bill, because there are people in this country that aren't dancing, damn it.
Let's dance!
Our time. Mm.
I agree.
I want to dance, I know that.
I owe you for the gift of dance.
The gift of dance?
Like, what? All
right. Giorgio Moroder presents Metropolis Special Edition on Blu-ray.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't he a composer?
He is, but he's the producer on it, and they... found all the parts to Metropolis, which has been cut up a million different ways. And during the restoration, he decided to give it a new score and added pop music, Billy Squire, Freddie Mercury, Bonnie Tyler. Please don't say that.
You remember this song?
Oh no.
You know what song this is, Stevie?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, kick in! Remember this, Bill?
I do remember it. There'll never be another
cry like you. Is that song in it? Back in Metropolis, sir.
It needs to be, but I doubt it.
Oh.
But yeah, all these things are missing footage re-edited into the film, new score, intertitles removed, replaced with subtitles, sound effects, color was added. Oh no! But I guess it's like...
You
blew it! It's a new movie. I've been wanting to see it. They got a release of it a couple months ago in the UK that I almost...
It's gonna be a blast. Would it be the kind of thing I need to watch the present version and then I'll appreciate it better if I see this one?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think I have seen a long time ago.
Yeah, I've seen Metropolis a number of times.
It's real old.
It is old. Oh, God, it's so old.
No, it is. It's fascinating and interesting and all that, what they did. It's very inventive and stuff.
Yes.
It's cool.
Moving on Blu-ray, we've got one of my favorite movies, Infernal Affairs. I love that on the cover it says the motion picture that inspired The Departed. Technically, the Infernal Affairs trilogy, all three films inspired The Departed, and more so than inspired, they pretty much just ripped them off.
Well, it was based on the original movie, wasn't it?
Well, it was based on the original trilogy, because there's parts in The Departed that are from all three films.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It seems like the same as the first movie. It is pretty much the same,
but all the stuff early on, like the Academy, Leo really in jail and all that stuff, that was...
But they didn't... I mean, they didn't really need the other two movies, did they?
I do. I think Infernal Affairs 2 is almost better than the first one.
Oh, okay.
And the third one is really cool it tells the story from the undercover cop character's point of view. Like, all the stuff that's going on around the main story.
Okay, cool.
They're really good movies. I love them, the Infernal Affairs trilogy. I think they're really well done.
I remember watching the first one. I watched it before The Departed, but it's also sad.
It is. It's a very sad film.
Sad stuff, man. Those Asians, they're always trying to make you sad when you watch movies.
But see, the second film, because they killed off the...
nice guy. Let's do it.
The Matt Damon character at the end of The Departed.
Yeah.
The Infernal Affairs Part 2 is actually all about that character coming to grips with the guilt of...
And what he's done.
Of what he's done, and then trying to fix the situation and basically trying to prevent himself from getting caught. Because they're starting to catch on to what happened.
Cool, and all these are coming out on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
HD Blu-ray?
Yeah, I definitely recommend the Infernal Affairs films. If you like The Departed, I think you'll like the Infernal Affairs films, and I think you'll appreciate more what came before The Departed. Because I'm just really not a fan of the film.
Not a fan.
Say hi, Emma.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Sweetheart.
All right, we're almost done. Next is Larry Crown on Blu-ray. Don't care.
Oh, Larry.
Yeah. I will be picking up Looney Tunes Platinum Collection Volume 1 on Blu-ray. I did not buy these DVDs, so I'm going to be buying the Blu-rays for sure.
That's great, Larry.
To get this stuff in HD. Next we have... what do we have? Three Colors... Blue, White, and Red, the Criterion Collection.
What?
You've never seen these films?
Yeah.
Krzysztof Kieslowski.
Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry.
Each dealing with a different color.
Meth heads.
See a meth head.
They're good films, but they're also like art student essentials.
Artsy-fartsy, huh?
Yeah, very artsy-fartsy. And that's DVDs and Blu-rays this week.
Well, that's encouraging.
It is.
Well, thank you, Sucklord. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for the DVDs this week.
Welcome.
Very good, sir.
No, we're done.
We're done, Foggy.
We're all done. Right.
Thank you for the DVDs, Bill. Good times.
I just can't take it no more. Thank you. Good night. Oh. Here all week, try the veal. And...
Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
Duly noted, sir. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That was episode 249 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You'll find a link to our forum and a link to our Facebook fan club. You could also follow us on Twitter. Or you could also email us at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Our voicemail still isn't working. So we'll figure out something with that. Sorry, guys. But like Sean and Steve Anderson did, they emailed us the file at nimpodcast@gmail.com. You could do that. And I am going to set up a new voicemail. I just, it kind of got away from me and I didn't get to do it and find a place. K7 voicemail is what we use, and it was perfect because, Bill, that gives you a number and then it emails you the voicemail right to your email. And it was so convenient. All I had to do is pull the file out and drop it in a folder. It was good times. But, yeah, that's our show this evening, guys. So enjoy it and stuff like that. Right, Steven?
Right.
Hell no.
Hey, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it'd be all contrary.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, Bill. What do we got?
What?
I guess that's it, man. That's
it.
We did a long show. We did good stuff.
My throat's killing me.
That's not good.
No, it's fine. It just... I'm not used, you know, we haven't done it in a week, so.
So we'll be back with our next show. What do you say, about 69 days?
69.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, everybody. See you next time. Have a good one. Thank you for listening.
Got bit. Fever hit. World gone to shit. Might as well quit.
Now this is podcasting.
I'm gonna get medieval on you.
That damn Sasquatch. I just can't take it no more.
Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry.
That's below the belt and it's disgusting.
That's so incredibly petty and lame.
Okay, what do I do now?
Me? I make cakes.
Oh, you people are crazy.
But everybody's gotta put their nose in our business.
Says you.
Well, that's encouraging.